Jerk alert!
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
Tractor beam. Suck me right in.
He slimed me.
It's not a tumor.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to TMRP Radio, live from Kansas City, Missouri. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good.
Oh, great. I'm great. Are you great?
I am fantastic.
Great.
We are the Movie Roulette Podcast. I'm Shroud.
I am Jason.
Oh,
who are you again?
I'm Andy.
You got coughed out of
the
mix.
I did. I got coughed out. So I'm Andy.
It's in the spirit of the film.
Guys, I tell you what. Oh, man.
I can't remember what I watched.
We have a great one that we're going to discuss today. There are a lot of clever stoner movies out there.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad that we rolled Half-Baked.
I think you're...
Wait. No. No. I'm sorry. Pineapple Express.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
I get those confused. So we have watched and are going to discuss Pineapple Express from 2008.
All right. I'm excited about this one.
Okay.
So
you guys want to dive right in?
I think we've got some things to do first.
We got a couple things to do first.
Like maybe some alcohol to consume.
Do
we need to talk about the credits now?
After we take a shot, we're going to talk about a movie.
There we go.
And it's Half-Baked.
Hey, we can actually cheers this time.
Cheers. To Xenu?
Yeah.
Oh, hail Xenu.
Wait, what's everybody shooting? Andy?
I got larceny again.
Jason and I are doing American Honey. I know it because I poured them.
Yeah.
You're right.
And it's not motor oil.
Nope. This is the clean one. Man, that shit's good.
Dude, that larceny is good.
The larceny is good. I just felt like
being a little bit of a wuss. I get it.
I felt like a trip down Honey Lane tonight with the American Honey. It's delicious. Andy, you want to tell us about Pineapple Express?
No, thanks. I'm fine. Oh, yeah, I do, actually. So Pineapple Express was written by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg and Judd Apatow. I got some little bit of information on that later. Directed by David Gordon Green, starring Seth Rogen, James Franco, Gary Cole, Danny McBride, Kevin Corrigan, Craig Robinson, and Rosie fucking Perez.
Okay, can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Sure.
This is a fucking stacked cast.
Yes, it is.
Right?
Extremely stacked.
That was going to be one of my first notes.
This leads me to... when does anyone remember first time they saw it? And the reason I ask that is because I had this strong feeling... What are you pointing at?
You're skipping ahead.
Yeah, I gotta do the recap there.
I already did that.
No. Yeah, I thought that came before that.
Nope.
I never read these fucking things. Okay.
No, after you wrote
the script.
You know what?
After the recap is when you take us into the initial thoughts.
Well, yeah, I know that now because I read that part. I don't write that part. I skip down and then my memory, that happens before you recap.
So.
God, I'm so curious. I have to wait now. Fuck.
All right, Andy, can you give us some sort of trailer or something about this?
I can let you guys know a little bit about it. All right.
Yeah, I have no memory. I can't remember it.
I can't remember my memories.
I can't remember the order of things.
I think it was high during it.
Wait, did you take pot?
It's been known.
There's been a time or two. All right. So,
you have to crack your neck to do this?
I just had to get into character. So there's this guy, Dale. He drives around like listening to hey Jason, listen.
Jason, we're doing a podcast.
Listen. So he goes around listening to the
so
radio
much smoke.
Hey, Shroud, like there's this
it's not smoke, it's vapor.
Yeah. So he goes around listening to the radio for his job while like smoking weed, which is pretty fucking sweet if you ask me. He goes, he goes and sees his dealer, which always kind of sucks, you know?
You gotta give him money.
Yeah. Who totally got some awesome, this awesome strain. It's called the Pineapple Express. It's fucking pretty sweet. Pretty fucking good. So Jason, Are you listening?
Yeah.
Okay. So just listen up. So,
dude, what's up with your eyes, man?
After he gets smoked up, he goes out to give some guy some paper or thing or something like that, and he gives, and so he sees that dude shoot another dude in the head, right?
What?
So then there's a bunch of stuff that is like funny, and James Federico's in on it, and Lumberg is there, but it's not Lumberg.
Yo, Federico is baller.
So
like, ooh, Lumberg and Federico.
Yeah. You guys should check it out. It's pretty. It's a good movie, man.
Love it.
So, Andy, yeah. did you take pot?
Maybe. I think there might have been. I might have, but I didn't inhale.
I didn't exhale.
Speaking of taking pot, what were you saying before, Jason?
You know, I've been dying to know. I was hoping that maybe one of you hadn't seen it before.
Can I go first on this? I was thinking that I had seen this movie before. But I actually, upon watching it, I have not seen it before this watch.
Okay, all right. Good. I just always like to see someone's like
genuine.
I was
confusing it with something else, so I have zero initial thoughts. I thought it was something else. Okay. I thought that different people were in it. I thought it was like
we did with 16 Candles or Sweet 16 or whatever it was.
Well,
The Breakfast Club?
No, something.
We did it with 16 Candles and
Pretty in Pink.
Pretty in Pink.
That's
thank
it.
You.
Number three, our third one. Yeah.
We totally confused him when we rolled Pretty in Pink.
Those are John Hughes movies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's huge. Biggest.
Biggest.
But
yeah, no initial thoughts because I thought it was something else.
Nice.
I do remember seeing this probably when it went to like, at the time, probably Blockbuster for all I know. We probably
it was 08.
We probably physically rented this at the time.
Yeah, you would have been still renting, but
I didn't watch it at the movie theater.
I did.
And I remember liking, I really like Seth Rogen and just like the way he improvs the scene. I don't know. I really like Seth Rogen a lot, like the way he does that.
You want Varsity?
And James Franco, or Federico, whatever you called him, his character really reminded me of a friend of ours. And we can get into that.
Yeah, I want mic. You. I
Are
wonder.
You gonna reveal that later?
Yeah.
Sorry, no, I can get into
mic.
It off mic.
Sorry, I'm off mic. I'm pouring shots for you.
Yeah.
I can get into it off mic. But
right. Sorry, listeners.
But in a good way.
Like, okay. I know you like to hear my voice full and clear on the mic. But I was pouring more shots for me and Andy. So,
but I actually did see this in the theaters. This was like, it was right before, it was about a year before I moved to Arizona, year or two before I moved to Arizona. So like, it was a girlfriend of mine that I saw it with. And I do remember seeing it. I was like, at the time, didn't smoke. And I was like, it's funny. It was a stoner movie. Like, whatever. That was like me.
That's probably a couple years into it.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
As someone who doesn't, you guys know, I don't smoke weed. I don't really ever take a hit off a vape. I barely have done edibles over the years.
Yeah.
I still find stoner humor usually pretty funny if it's done right.
Yeah. And that's,
I'm not like some, you know, I mean, I'm not anti-stoner.
Well,
guys, I am an ally. Okay.
I will say that it is clear to me at quote stoner. That this movie comes from stoners.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and get into it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
As has been the case for the last episode or two.
Yep.
I am going to do all the scene-by-scene reading because I am the best reader on the podcast.
Best Tweedle on the podcast.
That's like being king of the dipshits. I'm not tuning my horn by being the best reader on here.
Yeah.
Speaks the goddamn truth.
Even though I am, you fucking pussies.
Okay. That happened.
Okay. All right, let's get into it. Scene uno. I said uno.
Scene five.
Scene four. Pineapple Express opens in 1937, where we see the U.S. government secretly conducting an experiment to test the
experiment.
It's not spearmint, it's experiment.
Experiment. Asparagus.
I'm glad I don't have to read this bullshit.
Asparagus.
An experiment to test the effects of marijuana, or as they call it, item nine. The test is conducted in a secret bunker in an undisclosed location. The observed results force him to deem the substance Illegal!
Big mic on that.
That's the point. Then we are in present-day fictional Clark County, where we meet Dale Denton, a process server and marijuana enthusiast who is calling his favorite talk radio station from his car in the morning while enjoying a joint.
Yeah.
Say, man, you got a joint? He rambles on about his thoughts on legalizing the devil's lettuce while we see him serving subpoenas montage style to unsuspecting marks. Mark-ass tricks. We also hear Dale on another phone call discussing his relationship with Angie Anderson, an 18-year-old high school student, even though he is 25. Yeah, this is fucking... That's not okay. Dale then visits Angie at her high school between classes. He tells her he can't meet her parents tomorrow for dinner, and she is not happy. Dale then meets Mr. Edwards, a teacher of Angie's, as well as Clark, the studly jock who really seems to like Angie. Dale is feeling a little threatened by these encounters and decides to commit to the dinner tomorrow night after all. As Dale leaves the school, he calls his pot dealer, Saul Silver. He heads to Saul's to pick up a quarter of Saul's finest. He has a new Primo strain, the dopest dope Saul's ever smoked,
Pineapple Express.
Dale and Saul share a crazy cross joint before another one of Saul's customers shows up. Saul doesn't like this dude, so he doesn't get Pineapple Express. He gets Snickle Fritz. Dale makes several attempts to leave, but Saul keeps sucking him back in. He has one more subpoena to serve to some guy named Ted Jones. Saul recognizes that name. His dealer's dealer is named Ted Jones. Wonder if it's the same guy.
Huh.
Oh my God, it's the same guy? Dale finally leaves Saul's and heads to his next mark. Ted Jones' house. Ted Jones is a fucking mark, dog.
Scott.
He parks outside, lights a joint, and calls Angie to check in. But then a cop car pulls up behind him. The paranoia overtakes him, and he hangs up on Angie and slumps down in his seat. The female officer, Carol Brazier, isn't there for Dale. She heads right into Ted's house. Did I say that right?
Yep, you did. But I never knew that. I never knew it was before. That was before.
Brazier.
It's like a bra. The female officer, Carol Brazier, isn't there for Dale. She heads right into Ted's house. Seconds later, Dale hears a gunshot from the house. He looks up and witnesses a murder through Ted's window. And the cop was in on it.
Oh, my God.
Dale throws his roach out of the car like an idiot and makes a commotion, slamming into other parked cars while trying to make his escape. Now Ted and the cop know there is a witness. They run outside, but Dale is already gone. He's already gone. Ted picks up the lit roach, he smells it, and takes a pull. He knows this weed well. It's Pineapple Express, and only one of his dealers has this strain.
Oh, shit.
Motherfucker.
Mother mucker.
Okay, I got a question.
Yep.
In the underground testing facility, what were they doing to that chicken?
I don't even know.
Were they getting the chicken
you
high?
You don't want to know.
They were probably doing all kinds of tests on item 9.
I think we need to call PETA about this.
Well, one thing. Ladderungs. Ladderungs here. All right. They pull up, go down into the thing, and the guy goes, it's 0500. We are 7 minutes in. It's 5 a.m. there in the desert. It's never that bright and sunny at 5 a.m.
Just get your military. What are they, in Antarctica?
When did it start? At 0500. We're 7 minutes in.
So it's a 507.
Private Miller, you've been smoking item 9 for 7 minutes and 13 seconds. We're going to ask you several
questions.
How do you feel?
Well, sir, I feel like a slice of butter melting on top of a big old pile of flapjacks. Yeah.
Okay, Private Miller, when you think of your superiors,
what emotions do you feel?
Okay, Private Miller.
Doing the jazz band shit with his mouth and like mouth trumpets. Yeah. I was fucking dying laughing.
Oh my God.
Bill Hader. Reminded me of basketball.
It's like, but, Okay, Private Miller. Is this normal? Okay, Private Miller. Private Miller, answer the question.
This one out, sir.
Can you torch me?
We'll send someone in. Holy bejesus.
Private Miller.
Answer the question.
What was the question again, sir?
When you think of your superiors, what emotions do you feel?
You know what problem I have with your fucking little dog and pony act you call the military? Here it is. One, lots of dudes.
Where are the boobies? Two.
Why are we underground right now, sir? Why can't we be out in the open? Why aren't we in a square right now? Why aren't we talking to people, letting them know item 9 exists? Get it out, shout at the rooftops. This is great. This is the bee's knees, item 9.
Private, we need you to be serious.
I'm serious.
Your dick, my mouth.
That's inappropriate.
Fuck you.
I've seen enough.
Shut it down. Bury the hat, sell the land, and dispose of him. This never happened. Dude, what happened to your eye? Because he's got an eye patch and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right. So speaking of eyes, the dude, the radio guy, the guy that met him, did you notice his eyes were looking like in three different directions at once?
I don't think I noticed that.
Oh, man.
I don't think I did either.
It was bad. The guy on the radio was just...
I got some stuff about eyes later on, though.
Does not talk about eyes. It's fucking gross.
Andy does love eyes.
Like the way... I love...
Illegal!
That right there. That just piqued my fucking... there.
Piqued his interest.
It piqued my interest.
Oh,
that
P-I-Q-U-E?
Yeah, peak. Who is that actor? That the one with the eye patch?
It's a fuck.
Do you remember we were talking about it? That it was like a Tales from the Crypt type of thing, and the guy that
it's his, James Remar.
James Remar.
James Remar.
Remar.
Is it Sir Swish? I think it might Remar? Be James Remar.
Was it Sir Swish?
Maybe I'm Remar? Just saying that.
Oh, yeah, he was in the Warriors. What was he in?
Oh man, it was crazy. So yeah, it cuts to like modern day.
Yeah,
and it's Seth Rogen's character Dale Denton in his car. In the morning,
yeah,
listening to talk radio and smoking a joint, and you know, I didn't even write down what music was happening in the background.
It was
just sure
there was
some sort of
it was like a reggae.
I'll take your word
like
for it.
Yeah,
I don't remember. But you know, kind of just a fun intro, kind of doing some montagey.
Yeah,
kind of just setting up who he is, like what I don't know.
Yeah, he called a radio station.
Yeah, he's talking about how he wishes you know it was legalized and all this shit.
Well, and I mean, it's. Setting you on that course of this is what this movie is about.
Yeah.
There's a funny line during that phone call, though.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm dating a high school.
Yeah, I'm dating a high school.
Dating a high school girl.
You're not maximizing your potential, baby. You honestly think this girl takes you seriously?
I like if no, but if I'm 25 and the girl is 18 years old, you know, in society, that might look bad, but...
Hey, as long as it's consensual.
I think it's consensual.
What the fuck?
I think it's consensual.
But, like...
And that's when it shows him, it cuts to him at some big ass office building and he's serving subpoenas to like random dudes in their offices. They're all, nobody's happy to see him when he shows up and he has to like put on disguises and shit. That is a fun little like introduction to, especially Seth Rogen
playing
his character.
And it comes up later.
Oh yeah.
It comes up later again.
Several times. Yeah. That's like his job as a process server.
A prostitute server?
No. We'll get into that when that comes up for sure.
That would be probably one of the worst jobs, but at the same time, one of the most fun jobs. Like just driving around.
Yeah.
To be like here.
After he serves that next thing, all of a sudden it's Electric Avenue is playing and he pulls up next to another car to listen to the same song. And they're all bobbing their heads like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And he's smoking a joint. I'm just like, I mean, it's not a terrible way to spend his job.
Yeah.
Like as a stoner.
Yeah. I mean, like you're like, it is what it is. The only thing that sucks is, you know, this was 08. It did not become legal in California until 2018, recreationally.
Yeah, but everyone was using the medical loophole like crazy.
Yeah. Everybody were here.
When did it get legal here?
People just doctor shop. If your doctor wouldn't give you a prescription, that doctor over there will. So see you later.
2 years ago, so 2018?
22. I think it was 2022 or 2020.
2018, right? 2019? That was 2 years ago. No, never mind. We had a pandemic.
2024.
We had a pandemic.
We lost years.
We got cheated out of an era of our lives.
Take away my years.
I mean,
how does a 25-year-old visit his fucking girlfriend at high school?
Especially in post
in a post 9/11 and post Columbine
Yeah.
Society.
Just walking in there. And that's where you see Joe Trulio.
Yeah, dude.
Like, hey, people, can I help you?
Yeah. I have like a lot of that stuff highlighted because that shit was he shows up to his high school girlfriend's school because clearly we find out that his character has been invited to meet her parents.
And yeah.
As he's hyper aware as a 25-year-old pothead that he shouldn't be dating a high school age daughter. So he's obviously doesn't want to meet the parents.
Right.
And she like wants him to come over.
Yeah. And mom's already planning her couscous.
Yeah.
Her couscous. Food's so nice. They named it twice. Yeah. I have a lot of that interaction. Like,
and I can't wait. I can't wait for that, for the EBJ scenes, man.
She's already planning on couscous. I said it might not be able to ghost.
Oh, so why is she doing that already? Now I look like an asshole.
You are one.
Oh, come on. Don't say that. I just can't go. I have a job, okay?
Fine. Don't go. I don't care.
You don't care? Then why have you been inviting me this whole time? I thought you wanted me to go.
Because if you don't want to meet them, I don't want you to meet them.
I want to meet them. I just can't. I have a job. I'm sorry. What do you want from me?
I just know they'll like you. That's all. You're great. And you're funny. And you're sexy. I just want them to see that.
You want them to see that I'm sexy? And then all of a sudden the teacher walks up. Hey, people.
Hi, Mr.
Can I help you?
No, I'm good. Thank you, though.
Yeah? I see you don't have a visitor's badge. That's why I ask.
I'm,
actually,
with her, actually.
My boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. I heard that. I wish I didn't hear that, but I just heard that.
So that's supposed to mean?
I'm just wondering why, you don't date a nice guy your own age.
She's very mature for her age.
And then when Clark comes up and he's like, oh, hey, Angie, how's it going? And Joe Latrulio's like,
oh, hey, Clark. What's up, bud?
Like, oh, hey, Clark. What's up? And like tries to give him
he's
a five.
He's such a good guy.
Oh, man. And yeah, and at the end of the interaction there, when he's just like, he'll take care of her. He's such a good guy, which, I mean, we can get into the interaction of Clark and Angie there in front of Seth Rogen. And now it's just like,
oh, you left your, when you were working out,
yeah,
you left your shorts in my car.
Car.
He's like, what the fuck?
Or like, what, he's like, oh, hey, your impression of such, I can't remember.
No, it's, dude, I wanted to tell you, you were hilarious today in drama class.
Yes.
Your Jeff Goldblum impression made me pee my pants.
Oh, I wish.
Oh, I wish.
And then when it cuts to Seth Rogen, he's like, what do you, I wish. Like, so confused. You wish you pissed your pants. And then when he, yeah, and then before he like cuts loose, he's like, says something along the line. Hey, man, college soon. It's going to be crazy. But don't worry. I'm going to take care of her ass or something.
Yeah, I'm going to take care of her.
Because everyone's going to be trying to tap that ass.
Yeah. Know? Oh, dude. Like, yeah, don't want tap
So you're
going to
watch her ass?
Yeah.
You got cool, her man. Ass? Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect. Cool.
And then awesome. He said, time to suck today's dick. That's what I'm talking about. See you guys later.
Oh, fuck you, Clark. But I love that. I love Clark.
And then there's a Dale's interaction with Mr. Edwards. When he's like, why don't you go fuck yourself,
you weird little prick?
I'm a teacher, okay? You can't talk to me like that, guy.
I'm not a student, so I can say whatever the fuck I want. You chimp fucking
actually,
little bastard.
Know, oh, really? Okay.
Actually, you've got T-minus 30 seconds to get off school property, or I could call the liaison officer. We're leaving. I'm sorry. Oh, man. That shit is so funny there because, yeah, that's the reason he's like, called him the weird little prick is because when Clark's leaving, he's feeling obviously threatened by Clark.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, oh, yeah, no, hey, Clark's such a great guy. He's going to be watching out for us. So it could just the fucking teacher saying that. That was probably the first part of this movie that I was fucking gut laughing.
Yeah, this part made me laugh out loud.
Kids in the Hall and The State and shit like that. And Joe Latrulio, I believe, was on The State.
He was on The State, yes.
Back in the day. I loved some of those. I was like really young when I watched them. But
oh,
I have a big soft spot for him. He's so fucking funny.
I will still go back and watch The State now.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's on.
I would.
To Xenu. It's on my pants. Don't worry.
Hail Xenu.
But that whole interaction was just fucking cringe with the with Gabe Clark. I don't know if I said Gabe Clark.
Yeah, Clark.
Because he looks like a Gabe.
It's just like, were we that dumb in high school?
Nope.
Were we? Like, I mean, it was like, you know, just like.
I was listening to the Snapcase and I was straight edge. I was cooler than fucking everybody.
Or I was probably not. I was probably about 75-80% dipshit douchebag.
Yeah.
Negative.
I think I was too. Like, I just.
Sure.
I think, but.
A lot of.
I
like,
fucking ruled.
You know, if I were some sort of a 12-step program guy, I'd probably owe a bunch of people apologies, I'm sure. But, you know, I'm not really that guy.
No, just people you didn't know in public.
Or me.
Yeah, you know what? If it to any of those whose lives I affected in a negative way, I'm sorry.
If you were a victim of havoc, that, Jason,
I just know that today's me shakes his head at yesterday's me, and it was innocent fun at the time, and I'm sorry.
Jason, I think that the fact that you can come on this podcast and open up about this
makes me great.
Apologize.
I love it.
Makes you a great man.
That's what I was going to say. I totally agree. Thank
you. Know,
you.
And I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you for allowing us to be blessed with your presence.
I want to
thank you.
Yes.
I mean, you put my cell phone number on flyers all over the city.
And namaste to
you. You know what?
Too,
we
sir.
Could do that again if we wanted to.
We could. He's like, all right, you know what?
Leave school? Who does he call?
Well, no,
better call Saul.
He decides, he's like, all right, I will come.
He's feeling threatened by Clark.
Yeah, he's feeling threatened. So he's like, yeah, I'm going to come to dinner. Yeah, that's going to
be. Wouldn't you feel threatened
it.
By Clark?
I would.
At least that interaction, it just seemed like. Yeah,
it
we
seemed
have this
like
whole
they
thing
got like
on.
A little. Yeah, they're like a little secretly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least they're dangling in his face that. They could easily.
Well, by the way, Amber Heard, we haven't even mentioned really. Yeah, it's Amber Heard playing Angie.
You want to be careful with her. Don't piss her off.
That's right.
She'll shit in your bed. So, but yeah, so then he calls his dealer. He calls his buddy. Nope, not friend. Just his dealer. Saul Silverman.
Played by the great James Franco.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. James Franco as Saul. He's fucking perfect.
Dude, yeah, he's great.
Like
great. What? Like great.
Yeah. Well, of course he's buzzed in and he's like eating cereal, watching some old sitcom and he's just like,
yeah,
like giggling at some of the little punchlines while he's like eating cereal.
Oh yeah.
So he basically comes in the front door of Saul's place.
Hurricane season was over.
Oh, I'm sorry about things just got out of hand.
Yeah, that's the way it was with my first husband.
Hello? Hey, man. What the fuck, man? I didn't buzz you in. How the monkey did you get in here?
Oh, shit. Some guy with a faux hawk let me in, man. He was leaving when I was...
Kyle, man.
It might have been Kyle. I think.
Asshole.
I'm sorry, man.
What the fuck's the buzzer for, anyway?
I don't know. I'm sorry about that. I don't know your protocol yet.
Stuff your sorries in a sack, bro. Okay. It's not your fault.
Okay.
It's these jerk-offs.
So, I've got a little something about that stuff your sorries in a sack.
Okay.
So the first time Dale visits Saul, he apologizes for coming up before being buzzed in, to which Saul replies, "Stuff your sorries in a sack, man." This is actually from an episode of Seinfeld in 1989, where the characters disagree over whether or not the quote is a commonly used expression.
Okay. Nice.
Ironically, after the popular episode aired and was replayed over and over in syndication, "Stuff your sorries in a sack" actually did become a casually and commonly used expression as seen here in this film.
Oh, that's so great. Awesome. Love this trivia.
This is something Trout has
you
never
can tie Seinfeld in there.
Probably
it's
neither
good.
One of you ever experienced where you go to a pot dealer's house, and part of the thing is they don't want to look like a pot dealer that people are just coming and going.
Yeah.
So part of the deal is you sit with them a little bit and hang out. And,
yep.
And if you don't really know them,
it's the most awkward thing ever.
It's a bummer. So I would argue that he's very lucky in this case.
Yeah.
That Saul is his dealer.
Well, he said Seth Rogen, Dale set this up in the car. As he was talking on the radio, because he said, you know, it sucks. You have to go buy it from a dealer. That you, like they always try and make you hang out with him and stuff like that. You don't. You just want to go.
Yeah.
They don't have any real friends. There's just constantly people giving them money for weed.
Yeah. So he set up.
Share a bowl with me, man. Like fucking hang out.
So I've got some dialogue.
Let's hear this dialogue.
We're going to be introduced to the new strain of weed.
Oh, the pineapple.
Oh, I might have like highlighted this same shit.
Just got a shipment of the dopest dope I've ever smoked. Hands down
dopest dope I've ever smoked.
It's not better than the blue oyster weed. It can't be. I can't handle better than
this. This is like if that blue oyster shit met that Afghan Kush I had and they had a baby. And then meanwhile, that crazy Northern Light stuff I had and the super red espresso snowflake met and had a baby. And by some miracle, those two babies met and fucked. This would be the shit. That they birthed.
Wow.
Yes.
This is the product of baby fucking.
Smell it.
Okay.
Smell it. Enjoy. It's like God's vagina.
Oh.
What do you want to bathe in it?
just want to live in here.
Yes, you want to be it?
Oh, my God. I just want to shove it up my nose and have that smell all day. That's amazing.
Shove it anywhere you
beautiful.
Like.
Beautiful. What's it called?
Pineapple Express.
Pineapple Express.
Yes, it's this thing like El Nino, this airflow that comes from Hawaii and Canada, and it gets the dirt, mixes it in with the weed in a very special way. It's actually very scientific. I won't go into it right now, but I'm
the only guy in the whole city who has it. Only 10 bones more for a quarter.
Okay, I'll take a quarter.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take a quarter.
Like, it's just that perfect little interaction. So
good. It's so good. And then we're introduced to the cross joint.
Oh, God. I love
absolutely.
This. Absolutely. I can't smoke this.
The cross joint is fucking...
I have a quote on that.
I saw the cross joint for the first time, and I had to pause the movie because I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, because it's so great. What it is the cross joint. This is the future. This is like the apex.
The apex of the vortex of joint engineering. It's rumored that M.M. O'Shaughnessy designed the first one, the guy who designed the Golden Gate Bridge.
Of course.
My second favorite civil engineer behind Hans Carl Bandel, Madison Square Garden.
I just love when he goes, my second favorite civil engineer.
My drummer.
So funny.
Straight up, the cross joint. If you guys haven't seen this movie, listeners, guys and gals, they's, them's, everybody. This is straight up two joints made into a cross. And there are four points that you can light it.
Three points
that you light, but there's three joints.
That's what I mean, three. But there's four ends. So you got to put one of them in your mouth. You light the other three.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Well, we'll teach you how to smoke
weed. It's like a little
crucifix.
And
I've got a little
joint.
Trivia about these.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Seth Rogen himself rolled every joint and cross joint in the film.
Nice.
So Seth Rogen is a bona fide stoner.
Well, yeah, Seth
MacFarlane?
No, the other guy who wrote it, Evan Goldberg.
Yeah,
Evan Goldberg.
Clark W. Grisman.
Fell between the seats. I'm sorry.
But they wrote this in high school. They started writing this in high school.
It was in 2006.
I thought they did this. I thought they started this in high school.
It was actually, he wrote this, I think it was earlier than that.
November 28, 2006 is when the script was dated, but that maybe
okay, that was the one.
That was the one that they accepted.
Yeah, yeah.
He started on this in like 2001, I think it said.
Yeah.
Nice.
This was like when he was in high school.
He's like you guys' age, I think.
I think so.
I think he's 82, 83, somewhere in there.
Years old.
Yeah.
Year of birth.
Yeah, but... So yeah, him and Evan started this in high school.
Nice.
And that like, and so like, yeah, we're going to do this. And then like they kept shopping it around because he was on Freaks and Geeks. Seth Rogen was. And
so is James Franco.
Yep. That's where they met. And so that's kind of like where all this stuff it's.
So,
fuck.
He basically tries to leave.
Yeah.
After like, you know, like, all right, well, I got my quarter. You know, Pineapple Express sounds good. I'm on my way out. I got to go serve some shit and all that. And he's like, come on, man. You got to stay and, like, smoke this cross joint with me.
I can't light it by myself.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I can't light it by myself.
I don't want to. The idea of smoking anything to me is disgusting. However, a cross joint was funny enough that I was like, I might even try it.
Okay. All right. Andy, so, we got to figure out how to do this.
Yeah. I'm sure we can go into YouTube and figure out how to roll this cross joint. But
so
did you like when Seth Rogen takes that hit from it and he's coughing? Did you see what he did?
I didn't notice.
He did.
like the robot?
Oh yeah. I do that shit too. Absolutely.
Whenever he takes a shot.
I don't realize that it ever came from this movie, but like maybe psychologically, because there is one thing I did and I had forgotten about, but we called any type of like Beaster, like anything less than like good chronic.
Uh-huh.
If it was some swag or something, we'd always call it Snickle Fritz after this
Snickle
movie.
Snickle Fritz.
Because of the way he says it when he's like, nah, but he's not getting Pineapple Express. He's getting the Snickle Fritz.
I've got some dialogue so here.
All right.
Since
let's
we're on the
dialogue.
Snickle Fritz. Okay.
Okay.
So they hear the buzzer. Oh, fuck. Hang on 1 second, man. Oh, you fucker.
Hey, man. It's Chris Jebert, man. Let me up.
What's a Jebert?
Come on up. You're not getting any of that Pineapple Express.
Oh.
Chris. He's getting the Snickle Fritz. Hey. So the Listen, man. Ugh. What's up with the suit?
Oh, I'm a process server, so I have to wear a suit.
Wow. You're a servant? Like a butler? A chauffeur?
No. What? No, I'm not like... No, I'm
Shine
a,
shoes?
I'm a process server. I like...
In process.
I work for a company that's like hired by lawyers to like hand out legal documents, like subpoenas to people who don't want them, so I gotta wear like disguises sometimes just to make them admit that they're themselves so I can serve them the papers.
Disguise?
Kind of, I guess. It's a hell of a job.
That's cool, man.
Like a day-to-day basis, it's fine. Like,
got a great job where you don't do anything?
That's what I say.
I wish I had that.
Are you... You do. You have the easiest job on earth.
It's true.
You didn't think of that.
No. You have a good job.
Yeah, you do nothing.
Thanks, man.
No problem.
Thank you.
And that's when fucking Chris Gerbler comes in.
A bunch of that dialogue. We probably won't do that the whole movie, but these are the introductions of his character are so fucking funny. The looks on his faces. I mean, his wardrobe and the pajamas, like the outfit, the hair, it's perfect.
Are we talking about Gerbert?
No, I was just talking about... fucking Saul, but
yeah.
Saul Silverman.
Gerbert shows up and shows like this other side of like, because like a real weed smoker like doesn't generally fuck with these pills and shit, though they're all these kind of crossover dudes, and it's just funny.
Yeah, Chris Gerbert's fucking friend is trying to buy Percocet,
totally.
Like an asshole.
Yeah,
like what the fuck, man.
Yeah, and his attitude towards this guy immediately is just like, yeah, what do you want? You know, he's like not cool with him, doesn't want him to hang,
and then like Dale, like freaking out and escaping.
Fucking lingerer, man. Oh, hardcore. Bums me out, man. So this is when he's like, all right, I better bounce. I got to go serve this last subpoena on this guy, Ted Jones. And he's just like,
oh. Ted Jones?
He's like, my guy gets from a guy named Ted Jones. I wonder if it's the same guy. That'd be weird.
Yeah.
It shows him outside of Ted's house. Yeah. Like he's getting ready to go in, but he's not in a hurry. He pulls up. He's like, all right, I'm here. So he lights a joint and calls his girlfriend. And it's just chilling there. Which again, it's like he's on his own time.
Yeah.
It's not like he's just going to do it tonight, but he's just going to get high first.
Yeah. Well, what's great is that like whenever Rosie Perez pulls up and hops out,
yeah,
he goes, what an adorable little cop.
God.
Yeah. Also,
the fucking funniest line from that scene. But
I haven't seen Rosie Perez in a movie in like 25 years.
Since
at least.
Can't jump.
Yeah.
That's my last memorable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I'm glad to see her. I mean, of course, this is 2008, but I was glad to see her back.
But so Rosie Perez goes in and he's sitting there. He's still smoking. He's like, oh, fuck. OK, so she's fine. Like she the cop wasn't there for him, but she did park ridiculously close to him.
Yeah. Like she would notice him there
right up on his ass. She would have probably smelled the weed.
Yeah, she would have. She's
not concerned.
Yeah,
about weed.
She has a mission. She's on a mission. So she's not gonna let that fucking bother her. She might have like been like, oh, that's just Ted. Anyways. But so then
she clearly was there to help him in hindsight, because he's in a war with the Asian whatevers. And this guy was like an assassin sent to kill him.
And
he obviously must have caught him. But yeah, like all of a sudden he's like smoking his joint and he like picks it back up, hearing the fucking gunshot inside.
Yeah.
And I thought it was super funny. He's like, smoking and backing and bashing into both cars back and forth.
He couldn't get out of there.
And they're like,
what
the fuck is that? And that, like, after they just murdered a guy, they see this dude outside in the front just smashing into shit. And they're like, oh, well, fucking, he clearly saw.
Yeah. Well,
he couldn't have just been like a lot more casual.
And then who was the one that shot him?
It was Ted.
It was Lumberg.
Hell, Lumberg shot him.
Hell,
yeah.
Fucking Lumberg shot him.
He's a badass.
Gary Cole is...
The way he runs out to the front and finds the roach that...
He just
takes a fucking rip off of it like a pro. And he's
dude, he's such a bad motherfucker.
He knows immediately. I can't identify like that.
No,
that's fucking
impressive. That's the thing is, I don't even want to share anything with you assholes, let alone some random joint on the ground.
Yeah,
I would.
Like,
I'd take a rip off the joint.
Yeah, you don't actually put your lips on it.
It is true. You put it on this side of your finger.
Yeah. You just breathe in.
Yeah, it's like drinking off somebody.
You don't touch it.
It is true. You just don't.
Unless I'm kissing that person, I don't want to drink after them.
Don't touch it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No
so then.
Whatever.
So But then that's all I have on
that's,
there.
Yeah, that's all I got for scene one.
Yeah. No, no, just scene one.
Scene not, one also.
There we go. Damn it. Cut. All right. Scene two.
Scene two. Scene two.
Scene two.
Scene two.
Hey, man, man.
Scene two. As Dale drives away in a full panic, he heads straight to Saul's apartment to tell him what he had just witnessed. Dale and Saul realize that Ted could trace the roach as only Red had... Dale and Saul realize that Ted could trace the roach as only Red and Saul have the Pineapple Express strain. Dale and Saul decide they must flee the city just in time as two of Ted's goons, Budlovsky and Matheson, show up at Saul's having just missed them. Dale and Saul attempt to hide in the woods to lay low and come up with a plan. They destroy their phones and fall asleep in the car with the radio on, causing Dale's car battery to die. The next day, the men wake up extremely late and hitchhike their way to Saul's guy, Red. Maybe he could help them, but Red had already been visited by Matheson and Budlovsky. Dale senses that something is up, and Red and the men engage in a long, brutal fight, tearing up Red's house before Dale and Saul tie Red to a chair. On a long and lonesome highway.
What did me do?
East of Omaha. Fuck. Red reveals that Ted knows who they are and intends to kill them. Dale and Saul escape just before Budlovsky and Matheson show up and torture Red for information. They both shoot him in the abdomen and leave him for dead. Meanwhile, believing Dale's girlfriend Angie to be an angel, he and Saul travel to her home where Dale meets Angie's irritated parents for the first time. He is late for dinner and he looks like he's been through hell.
Truth.
He tries to tell her family the truth but is removed at gunpoint by Angie's father, played brilliantly by
Ed Begley Jr.
Ed Begley Jr. Budlovsky and Matheson arrive at Angie's house, but Dale and Saul depart before they can be captured, and Angie's family goes to a hotel to lay low.
Okay.
Okay, so the beginning of this scene, when Dale shows back up to Saul's apartment,
yes,
the whole door buzzle debacle,
yes,
is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, because up to
he's
that
like,
point,
wait, you can't hold it again.
Yeah, up to that point, he's like screaming, like, "Oh my god, oh my god!"
I saw blood and brains.
He's like
brains.
Freaking the fuck out, like swear he didn't know where to go, and he goes there, and he's like running. He's like, he's in a hurry. He's rushing. He's like, "Hey man, it's me," and all that shit.
So, it's Dale. Let me in. I just saw some crazy shit, man. Let me in, please. For the love of God, let me in. It's Dale. Let me in, man. Let me in.
Dale?
Yes, Dale. That's what I said. It's Dale. Dale, let me in.
Oh, all right, man. Come on up.
Hey, man. Hey, it's me. Shit's the clown. Want to watch me blow up a balloon and shit on it?
So, I do have some dialogue to go over after he gets in the apartment.
Yes, please.
After he finally, like, buzzes him. Okay, just go on three. They finally buzz him. He gets into the door. And then Dale runs into Sal's apartment and he goes, he fucking killed him. He fucking killed him. Hey, I got neighbors.
He fucking killed him.
Who killed who?
A cop, a lady and a guy.
A cop, a lady and a guy, man, that's like a massacre. You saw it?
No, it was just a guy.
What happened to the lady?
No, a woman. A police woman and a guy, another guy shot another guy, an Asian guy, in the window at fucking Ted's house.
Wow. Was the other guy Ted?
I don't know. He was a big, gray-haired man, and he had a robe, and he fucking took a gun and shot him, and his brain fucking flew everywhere. Yeah. I can throw up.
What?
Chicken fries.
Sick. You threw up on my printer.
I did.
Did you break it?
I hope not. It's just so funny the way he obviously, it's Seth Rogen, like, doing the freak out and how Saul is not up on any of it. He's like, wait, what? There's a guy? Where's the what
happened to the lady?
When he's just like, oh, no, that's a massacre, man.
The way, like...
A cop, a lady, and a guy?
Like, the way that they respond to each other is so great. I love it. Like, that is the... That's what makes James Frederico's fucking character so great in this. Just the way that he plays it.
And his chemistry with Joe Rogan is fucking.
Why are you doing this,
dude? The chicken fries line. That's so great. Like, I laughed out loud at that. Because, he's like, that was chicken fries.
And then just like the way that he's James Franco is always just like, oh, okay, like, oh, wait.
No, it's you said his last name.
I'm sorry, Frederico's. The way that he responds to Seth's freak out is just beautiful. It's gorgeous. I love it.
Yeah, because and at that point, he's just kind of calming him down, like, so wait, like, and then you faking came here? Like, did anyone follow you? I don't know. And he's just like, okay, well, just calm down. You know, they don't know who you are or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's when he's like, he goes, relax. Just sit back.
Enjoy some of the rarest weed known to mankind.
Is it really that rare?
It's like the rarest. It's almost a shame to smoke it. It's like killing a unicorn with like a bomb.
Are you the only guy in town who has this? You're actually the only guy?
Yeah. My guy Red said he was giving me an exclusive sneak preview.
And am I the only guy who you sold it to? The other guy's got Snickle Fritz?
Yeah. So we're like the only guys.
And Red got this from Ted?
Ted's the man.
Let's get the fuck out of here, man! Go! Go! Let's go! Let's go! Go! Because I threw a roach at this outside of Ted's house!
So what, man? I throw roaches all over fucking town!
No! 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 He could find the roach and say, it's Pineapple Express in here! Saul is the only guy who has Pineapple Express! He must have seen the murder or no! Let's fucking kill him! Oh, let's get out of here!
That logic jump was
like very quick
great.
In the movie.
It's great.
Like, oh, this is like, that's either like one of those stoner thoughts or like,
yeah.
But then he's just like, get the weed, get the weed, anything we might need. Snacks, food, fruit roll-ups. Let's get the fuck out of here. Okay, okay. Yeah, they scrambled to get. Oh, man. Again, I only have those lines highlighted because of that chemistry where they're a little bit off script, but they know right. what they're getting at, and it's fucking funny.
I've made a note, and this is in my notes several times, like, this is all one large improv. Like, I have a feeling, like, Judd just let go. Just go have fun, you two. Because you can see several times that they're doing lines with each other, and there is just the split second before they break.
Oh, sure.
How close were you guys paying attention to, like, the whole when they were like freaking out and like, we got to get snacks and blah 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 and like pack up and get out of there? Did you pay attention close enough to see the shot of Saul's bedroom?
No,
I don't think
and all
so.
The stuff that was like stacked up and like standing on his bed?
No.
Like model toys or something that were just like on his bed, like stacked up all nicely, like in battle form or something.
I was he just sleeps on the couch, obviously.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so awesome. That it's actually funny. I wish I hadn't noticed.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to pull that back up. But
and it's funny too, because they like, why don't they just go to Dale's place? Like, Ted doesn't know Dale exists. I mean, he saw a vague person driving away.
Yeah, at this point
they could hide out at Dale's, like, and nobody would ever know the difference.
Well, but he doesn't know what the cop knows, or if they saw his plates or saw his car or not. He's not 100% sure.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So that's why he's just like, that's because I thought the same thing, but I was like, oh yeah, they probably think that because it was a cop, they're a dirty cop, obviously, they'll try and find him.
Yeah, and it cuts straight to like when they leave and panic and run out, all of a sudden Saul's door is getting kicked in by Matheson and Budlovsky.
Yeah.
Which, fuck yeah.
Craig Robinson.
That dude was from this show called Grounded for Life that
yes.
I actually liked.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that guy's funny as fuck. So when they break into the apartment, they're like, oh man, Red said he'd be here. They clearly know that they've already talked to Red. But they have to like call, hey, they're not here and all that shit. Like check in with their guy.
And fucking Matheson, he's on the couch, like immediately sitting down, relaxing. He smokes some joints. He's like, oh, it's still lit.
Yeah, there's like, they could still be here.
Yeah.
Or close or whatever.
I just want to take care of this, go have dinner with my wife for once.
I got to say, I love Craig Robinson.
Oh,
Craig
yeah.
Craig Robinson is awesome. Okay, so Dale and Saul are on the run.
Yeah.
Did you notice the jar of pickles on the car?
Yes. Oh, my God. I actually have it on there.
These guys have the right fucking idea.
Yeah, I have some
pickles.
They
got pickles for the road.
Yeah.
Dill pickles in a jar.
Yeah, they're still panicking. They don't know where to go, but they did grab the right supplies, and they're just like, I don't know. I wish we could just go nowhere. And then it cuts to them in the like park next to the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
Like sharing a joint outside of the car.
With a jar of pickles.
Dude, like I've never, like, I would fucking eat a pickle right now. That's how fucking...
I fucking love doing
it. I have some upstairs. So yeah, they have the jar of pickles. I actually put that on my thing too. Like
I was happy to see it.
I love
dill pickles. I love dill pickles.
Yeah.
And I drink the juice when they're gone.
But okay. So they're also sitting there talking about triangulating the phone. Like they're talking about
Yeah, they're in the woods how they could get us. Because he saw the cop. So it could be dirty cops.
I just thought it was funny because they were calling like cell phone tracking now, like what we have now, way back in 2008. I just thought it was kind of cute.
Oh.
It's in this same scene. Did you guys see Dale's undershirt?
No.
When he takes his jacket off, his suit jacket? It's like a jersey t-shirt. It says, you can see it through his dress shirt. It says Tomato Face number 54.
Yeah. I was trying to. I just wanted.
I don't know what that means, but
I looked it up, but it didn't. There was like nothing that it was just a Dale shirt or whatever.
And then they get. I don't know if I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but they there's like a montage, and they're getting high, and they get the worm high.
Yeah, he's just in there.
I'm just a worm.
Seth is a dick to James in this movie. I don't know why. Like, I think this is where he kind of starts being like a total just like ass right to his face. Seth Rogen is just a dick to James Franco.
Trying to make like the plan of how to get out of this.
Yeah.
And that's where he's like, well, we can call Red and tell him like not to let them know you sold it to me.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, they've already been to his apartment. Like they're already way past that, but they have no idea. And they're like, yeah, we'll call him tomorrow. You know, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, he does call him here. And I do have some of this phone call at least.
Yeah. And then it was Danny McBride.
Yes, Red is Danny McBride, and then when they call him, and he answers the phone, it's like almost like a scuffling thing. He's like, hello,
hey, Red, you okay?
Yeah, Saul. Yeah, I'm fine, man. I just stubbed my toe.
Oh, well, be careful, man. Be careful. Wear shoes in the house. Safety first, then teamwork. Now listen, you know that Pineapple Express stuff you gave me? Don't tell anybody that you sold it to me.
I would never talk to anyone about the stuff that I do with you involving drugs.
All right, cool. Now listen, I'm gonna come by. I gotta lay some shit on you. There is a fly in the ointment.
No,
it the fan? The lion will speak.
No,
in the middle of a convo, please.
No, seriously.
Listen, we're gonna be over there in like half an hour.
Perfect.
No, please, no.
Let's just go over there and chill out, man.
Oh man, come on, can we go tomorrow? Look, we're already here.
Try somebody else. Somebody else on the phone with him. Who's talking? I don't know. He's whispering to another man.
We'll go in the morning. It's better that way.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Hey. So you're coming by tomorrow.
How'd you know that?
Yeah, I just heard you whispering to that other guy that you're talking to. Who is that?
Oh.
Right, Dale. Good job. Listen.
Did you guys pick up on the? So Danny McBride looks hilarious. He looks like he's 13.
Yeah.
Oh, he, like clean shaven and fucking his haircut and stuff. I'm like, what the fuck?
Before, what is the baseball movie or show he was on?
I'm fucking
yeah. That's like when he like really start. Eastbound and Down.
Eastbound and Down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kenny Powers.
Yeah, Kenny Powers.
Kenny Powers.
That's like where he kind of like really started to shine. But I love him in this fucking movie. He's so good in this movie.
Oh yeah.
Did you guys notice that tiny car towing that boat? That huge boat? It was like a
yeah. Like a, it was like a golf or something. It was like a,
yeah.
Isn't that when they like hitchhike like back to town?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Before they get they into all that,
when they wake up,
yeah, there is this whole thing where they decide to meet with Red tomorrow at noon. Which,
yeah.
Again, would leave plenty of time for the drug dealers to get to him first, which is just funny that they're being total stoners about their time thing.
Yeah.
And then. Yeah, when they fall asleep in the car and they wake up at 4 p.m. the next day, and they're like, oh, man, we slept like 18 hours. It's like so ridiculous. Yes. And he's just like, oh, well, clearly the battery died because we were listening to talk. Like, he's like, to talk radio? He's so fucking bummed out that that's what caused the battery to die. Oh, it killed itself, man. It's like it got so bored.
What
do you mean the battery died?
That's the best way. He's like, what do you mean the battery died? Like the way he looked at him is like the way he's talking. It's fucking awesome, dude. James Franco killed this role. I'm telling you. But then they show up over at Red's house. He's playing it so cool. Red is. Like he's like, oh yeah, man, come on in.
Yeah. Well, of course his like face is beat to shit. Yeah. Oh, what? This is herpes. Cold sore.
I should have joined with you, man. Like the way that Saul just gets so fixed on a couple of things throughout, like he'll
it just goes off on these things where it's like clearly like Dale's trying to get somewhere and he's just like,
yeah,
kind of locked in. That is total stoner.
Yeah, but yeah, he gets. I think he mentioned
like his dead cat. Oh, I'm sure he's in heaven. He's like, yeah, maybe he was a little fucker.
Yeah,
could have gone to hell.
Yeah, but just this is the introduction of Danny McBride into the zeitgeist with just his like amazing humor in this. I fucking love it.
Oh no, this character is great.
There's also another funny line from Saul during this part, right before the dead cat line, when he's like, he's talking about the, like that he looks like he's got herpes or whatever on his leg. Yeah. He's like, it's from that time I told you, man, you ate that lollipop out of that stripper snatch. You wanted to do it out of her vagina. Remember what you did? What did you do? And he's like, you ate a box of Nerds out of her butthole. You fucking said you wouldn't tell. You sowed your own poison, man.
But so, and like that is definite improv.
It felt like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that was yes and for sure.
Yeah, and they're just like building it off. They're like, you ate a lollipop out of her vagina. You did Nerds out of her butthole. It's like, I'm just going to one-up you on this one.
The funny part of that whole thing, though, is like when he says, you wanted to do it, his inflection here is like brilliant, like of that line.
When they're in there, like kind of arguing back and forth, he's trying to suss Dale out.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, we should have just, what? Oh, that bong you got in Tel Aviv or whatever?
Bong mitzvah?
Bong mitzvah. Hit it up, you know? But he's like, well, let me make a phone call. And Dale's like, who are you going to call? And he's like, oh, I'm just going to,
I call my sister or my brother or something like that.
Yeah. And it's just, they're like sizing each other up and shit.
Yeah.
I just thought that was.
Fred, look at this. See this? You see that? Showing his armpits. There's no hair under there. Okay. Dale goes, what's the significance of that? Makes me aerodynamic when I fight. I can take danger.
That is so him. But yeah, so when he finally is like super suspicious of the call Dale is, he's like, bullshit. And he causes this whole confrontation where the three of them engage in a like goofy ass.
And this is
super like, long battle.
At the start of the fight, for some reason, Saul calls out the herpes. Oh, watch out for this herpes or something like that.
Oh, there's all kinds of funny moments in this fight. In the way, y'all smash my portable telephone or something like that. Just so many, like, the way he says shit.
Bullshit! No. 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 Liar.
What are you doing, man?
He's a liar. He's lying to us, man. He's lying to us.
No, he's not.
He knows my name. He knows my name. He's acting weird. We can't let him phone anyone, man.
No. You're freaking out, man. You're paranoid. No.
Talk to your boy. I do not trust you, sir.
You're paranoid.
He's acting weird. I'm not.
Fred, I'm sorry, bro.
I'm not paranoid. Oh, Jesus.
Holy cock.
Fuck you.
What are you doing, man? He's sorry. Oh, Jesus. Oh, herpes.
Oh. I don't want to have to do this.
Smash him.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Fuck. Ow. Ow. Time out.
Okay. Truce.
Damn it.
No. Okay. Cheater.
All of their random arguing, and he calls time out at one point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I called that on here. He started.
Cheater.
Calling time out, James Franco goes, truce. And then, he gets beat with he beats Dale with a dustbuster. Dale beats him with a dustbuster, pulls the dustbuster off the fucking wall and starts smacking.
Oh, yeah.
The back.
This fight scene's long. Like, it's awesome. There's a lot of, like, as I go through and I'm like, there's the dialogue that goes with it. There's a ton of that shit. And then finally, at the very end, when Dale smashes him in the wall and, like, knocks him out.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he wakes up and they got him tied to a chair.
Yeah.
That scene.
The shitty tape.
Yeah.
Well, like he's just. But there's the fucking, like when Dale and Red are kind of like arguing and like battling each other almost verbally.
Yeah.
And then he's like, why don't you follow his lead and chill out? And he's like, I'm chill. I'm chill as a cucumber, man. You don't seem chill. More chill than you. You're more chill than me. Look at what I'm wearing. Kimono. What are you wearing? Suit. Yeah, exactly. I don't know what's up with you, but I don't know if I like you.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I don't know if I like you either, man.
So
the
funny.
Fucking kimono.
Like sizing like, each other
up.
Of
course he's wearing a kimono.
Yeah.
And of course he brings it up.
Yeah.
God. That I was giggling a lot during that scene. Like the Danny the chemistry of the three of them together was so funny.
Yeah, I love
there's like so much to even go through. It's hilarious.
Dale is questioning him and he's questioning him with a cactus to his face.
Yes.
Like that would actually suck. Like just be like get poked with it.
Yeah, I don't
want to
get poked with it.
Yeah, because that's where he's just like, all right, tell us everything you know. Because they need to know what Ted knows, basically.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, Ted knows. He knows you witnessed the murder. He found your roach. He sent two guys over here, Budlowski and Matheson. Two real big sons of bitches. They're basically out to kill you guys. They're going to kill me too unless I turn you all over. So you guys are basically fucked. He's like, how many cops does he have on the payroll? Tell us. Well, there's this woman cop, Carol. That's the lady cop.
Yeah.
I don't know. He could have a bunch. This dude is super well connected.
Also, Budlowski is not big.
No.
But Craig Robinson looks like he might be big, but it also might be movie trickery.
Yeah, but like, I just love how quickly he Red just folds on those two dudes. He's like, oh, there they are, right there. Like, he just folds on them, and he does not give a shit. He's just going to tell on anybody that he can get a hold of.
He's at a war right now
with the Asians. They're like in a drug war right now.
The Asian, what Asians? Indians are technically Asian.
It's true.
What Asians?
I don't know. What Chinese or Korean or
Vietcong?
Little Asian people, like the Asians with the guns and the drugs and not his friends.
It's so good.
That's like the way he's describing like the Asian war, but which was what you were touching on earlier. I'm like, they kind of touch on that later where they don't make the distinction.
They you don't know what they are, and like they even pull up the like Indians are Asians, so it's like like it's pretty good.
He's like, I don't know, the ones with the guns and the drugs and the ones that are not his friend. But like, and then at that moment's when the doorbell rings and he's like, oh shit.
Hey, Rick.
Oh, okay, guys. I know I sold y'all out. Now I've been a real son of a bitch and a shitty friend. Saul, I'm talking to you. Dale, you're a new friend. But I can make it up, okay? I forgot bros before hoes. Just go out the back porch. I won't say anything, okay? I'll cover for you.
Okay, thanks, Red.
No sweat. It was Dale Denton. Dale Denton and Saul. They're on the back porch. You can catch them if you hurry. Go.
Back there. If you can. It was Dale Denton and Saul. They're on the back porch. If you go, you can catch them. Hurry, go. Yeah.
He fucking just folds on him so quick.
Fucking bastard, everybody. Man. He fucking... Yeah.
He has no loyalty.
So funny.
Immediately. They didn't even torture him or anything. No. He just gave it up.
But they did get away.
Yeah, they did. But...
Barely.
And they have the best hiding spot. He's like, I think we should stay. Why? Because I'm already in the dumpster.
Yeah, he jumped in the dumpster.
No, we have to go. We have to flee. And then we see Kim Jong. Or Kim Jong. I said Kim Jong Un. Kim Jong, we see him Bobby Lee in the van listening.
Yeah, at Ted's house.
Yep.
Yeah, because when Ted's at his house,
because that's Budlowski calls him.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
We just missed him. Right. Like, so that's our introduction.
Because he's
just
like, well, these guys, are they Asian? Because that's where he's thinking. This is coming from my enemies.
They're
like, no, man. It's like. Two white guys.
Yeah.
And he's like, they came in here, they duct taped me to my grandfather's wheelchair. What more do you want from me? When Red is being interrogated.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Both y'all would just take your shoes off me. And this is brand new carpet. You're tracking mud in here. Madison, you got British Knights on. I ain't seen anybody wear them since 1987.
No! What the hell are you doing?
Ted told me to kill him.
Well, how about a little fucking discretion here?
See right there. You see it? You catch it?
See what?
You used to not give a fuck about discretion. I seen you pull somebody's jawbone off. I seen it. You was ruthless. You was ruthless, man.
What the fuck, man?
That's this like slight thing where you're seeing between Matheson and Budlowski that Budlowski just wants to do bare minimum that
doesn't care.
Ted requires, and he wants to go home and hang out with his wife. And this guy's like, you used to be like a ruthless killer. Now you're like getting soft. And it's like you're starting to see this crack between him where he's starting to resent him and shit.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
seen it.
And then they shoot him in the stomach.
Twice.
Fuck, man. What's up in the stomach? I'm going to die now, probably. I had you all over here for dinner. Fish tacos. This is how you do me?
This is how you do me? I'm going to die now, probably. Like, it's those little things that they add in.
Yeah, there's no way it said that in the script. It was just the way he worded that line that makes it so much better.
And if James Franco tried to say that line, it wouldn't work as well as it worked with what's his name? Bobby McBride.
Danny McBride.
Whatever. I fucking lost
Danny Lee?
Yeah, Danny Lee. Ah, see, yeah.
Dutty was, Lee?
Danny fucking K.
Don't do it.
Oh, didn't somebody tap dance with Danny fucking K once? Bing
fucking Crosby did. Hap.
All right.
Hallelujah. Holy shit.
Where's the Tylenol? Do you guys realize
you couldn't hear a dump truck driving through a nitroglycerin plant?
All right, that's it. You only get one.
So like the next thing I have is fucking Ed Begley Jr.
As Angie's dad.
Well, I'm gonna eat. I have this because I thought that was so great.
They're running from we saw this shit at Ted's house.
Yeah.
And we found out the Asians were bugging him and they were listening in the van.
Yeah.
Got all that shit. And then when it shows Dale and Saul, he's like kind of panicking, running down the street. All right, we're almost to Angie's because he just wants to get there to warn her. Yeah. He actually forgot this was the night he's supposed to eat dinner with his family. And they're sitting there fucking waiting. And so it cuts inside the house. They're obviously pissed off. And it's Ed Begley Jr., her dad. You guys can
wait as long as you want, but 1 minute from right now, I'm gonna eat some food. And you can call it rude, you can call whatever you want, and you can be all polite with your clean plates, but I'm gonna be eating food.
And
I'm gonna go in the other room and eat it and check my email, because I'm done with this.
I thought that shit was so fucking funny.
Do you guys remember Meet the Applegates?
Yeah, was that?
Ed Begley Jr. was like,
was that the bug one?
Where they were like alien bugs?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do remember that from like when I was young. I feel like that was like an HBO thing, but
it was in the 90s.
I really remember the story.
I think.
But like that shot I love. It's the, you know, the Will Ferrell, Sarah Michelle Gellar. He's like, I drive a Taurus. What does he say?
The Dodge Stratus.
I drive a Dodge Stratus. Like the way that they're set up, dad, mom, kid in the middle, and she's just sitting there like so. They're so bummed. It just reminded me of that skit. I loved it.
Yeah. And then obviously the guys bust in. It's like out of breath. And he like kind of is realizing like, oh, shit.
Oh, it's tonight.
Yeah. And there is. Oh, where he meets the family.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're like, what happened to you? Nothing. I'm supposed to be here right now. So I'm here.
I'm here. You're all dirty and bleeding.
No, I'm not. I'm here for dinner.
You have scratches on your forehead.
Dude, you smell like shit.
Dale, what happened to you?
I was in the woods.
In the woods?
Yeah, isn't that weird? I was in the woods.
What were you doing in the woods?
I bird watched. I don't. No, I don't. Look, I'm going to come clean. I witnessed a murder. Okay, I saw someone murder someone else, and I think they've been following me. And there's a good chance they went to my apartment where Angie has a lot of things. She has her yearbooks, report card, her cell number is written, and it's on my fridge. So they could then find this house. They could come here.
We should call the police right away.
We can't call the police. The police were the murderers. That's what's so flippin' scary.
We can't call the police.
Scary.
They were the murderers.
They were the murderers.
Angie, I swear to God, you do something or I'm gonna.
So fucked up.
No, don't let him gonna. No, don't wanna. Look, we gotta get the F out of here. Let's go. We need to begin to prematurely evacuate.
Are you high?
What? No, I'm not high.
You are high as a fucking kite.
I'm not high. Let's go.
We're not going anywhere. I'm coming back in a minute. You know what I'm coming back with?
No, what?
I'm coming back with a gun. You better be out of here.
Robert, don't.
I'm not fucking with you.
Your gun? His gun? Why do you have a... Don't get a gun. Why would he bear arms? Look, no. We need to go. Everyone, I'm leading the parade.
Yeah, like that whole scene with all of them just like... The freak out and Ed Begley Jr. getting so mad and everything, and the mom and daughter, like, oh my God, it is great. And that most of it, like, why would you bear arms? Like, that is all just off the cuff. You know it.
Or yeah, when Ed Begley says to them, like, you assholes do exactly what I say, or I will take you outside and I'll fuck you in the street. No, don't fuck us anywhere.
Oh,
it's hilarious.
And then, yeah, and then they do show up. Matheson and Bev Flofsky, they do show up. And right as Ed Begley Jr. is shooting at Seth Rogen. So they think they're getting shot at too. So they start shooting into the house. It's just mishap after mishap with this. It's so great.
They get the family into the car in the garage. And Dale's like, go to the Days Inn downtown, okay? Use a fake name, Garagely. I'll contact you.
Yeah. Garagely. Well, the best part is like Seth and James jump in the car with him, and he's like, not you. Get out. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. When he tells him to use the Garagely thing,
yeah,
he's like, I don't know what these guys are capable of, but I'll keep you guys safe. I promise that. He goes, fuck off, loser. And then you hear him go, Angie, you're a fucking idiot. I say that with love. And Begley's talking to his daughter. It's just, while Dale's being all serious, he's like, oh, just fuck off, loser.
Yeah.
So funny.
I'm with him on this in this whole situation. Like, fuck you. Like, I'm pissed off at him. And that's all I have.
Yeah, that's all I got on that one.
Scene two.
You got anything else?
No, I'm good on two.
All right.
Same three.
Scene three. Back at Ted's house, Carol and Ted discuss the updates on Dale and Saul. They are suspicious that their rivals, the Asians, have hired Dale. Ted calls the leader of the Asians and issues some threats, officially declaring war between the rival drug gangs. Meanwhile, Dale and Saul sit in a tree sharing a joint. They plan their next move. They will buy a bus ticket, but first they need to sell some of the Pineapple Express to raise the funds. Dale is arrested by police officer Barbara after selling to some high school kids. Saul witnesses the arrest while coming back with Slurpees and snacks for their upcoming bus trip. Dale tells Officer Barbara that he witnessed Officer Brazier and Ted murdering a man. Officer Barbara has long been suspicious of Brazier's corruption and says she will investigate. Saul, thinking he is rescuing Dale, hijacks the police car. Officer Brazier hears the police radio of Dale's arrest and pursues Dale and Saul in a high-speed chase, but they escape. Dale then calls Angie Garagely at the Days Inn where she and her family are laying low while Saul calls his bubby at her retirement home. Dale's conversation goes poorly. He and Angie are now broken up. Dale then picks an argument with Saul, causing the pair to split up in anger. Dale starts to realize that he made a mistake and that Saul is his best friend. He gets Saul's grandmother's address and heads to the retirement home, but it's too late. Saul has been kidnapped from his bubby's facility and is now held in Ted's lair. Dale then enlists an injured Red to help rescue Saul, but Red backs out at the last minute, leaving Dale to enter the compound alone. Dale is quickly captured and thrown into a familiar room with Saul. While Dale and Saul are waiting to be killed, they reconcile their friendship and plan an escape.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. The Asians are pissed.
Dude, I, like, love Rosie Perez because the scene opens with her talking.
Where they triangulated the cells.
Yeah, and then she's talking about, like,
one of their phones hats. Wasn't fully destroyed.
Yeah, it was like we had cowboy hats and doctor's uniforms and shit. Like, just her, I forgot how amazing she is.
Oh yeah, she's I think she's really likable and
oh yeah,
it's funny. What an adorable little cop. Well, I had the scene with the phone call.
Yeah,
where he calls his Asian rival. Uh-huh. You know, like the Asians are behind Dale and Saul or something. I don't know. Did you guys see a version where their phone call is interrupted by the Asian? Like, his son is played by the kid in the Goldbergs, Barry, whatever that kid's really.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
Did you see this?
I didn't see that, no.
Because I didn't see it in the version I watched, but apparently, I don't know. The script that I have was a cutout scene where, like, he picks up the other phone because they're on a landline.
Uh-huh.
And when Lumberg is, you know, or whatever, fucking yeah. Ted is yelling at the Asian guy. And he's like, do you want a war? Bring it on. And all of a sudden, the kid picks up. This is the deleted scene. And he's like, what?
What? Hello?
Troy.
Dad! Get off the phone! I told you I'm going to call some hot bitches later, and this is the time.
I got you your own line so you would stay off of mine. Now get off the phone.
Don't talk to me like that. I'm not a little kid. I'm a man. And from this point forward, I'm not taking any of your fucking shit. I love you, Dad, but the dynamic in our relationship is about to change.
Troy, do me a favor. Get off the fucking phone!
Oh, shit.
So you have a son.
So, yeah, he screams at the phone, though, and, you know, it's going to be war. I'm going to kill everybody. Fuck you.
Yeah, and then when the Asians are talking to each other, they switch back and forth from...
Yes, I did notice
Japanese
that.
To English, back to Japanese, back to English. It's like, why? Just
because they speak both.
I understand that, but you don't just keep it all one. It's confusing. It's hard to keep up because it's like, oh, he's going back to English. Oh, fuck. I got to read again.
Your brother's death will not be in vain.
Nope.
Yeah.
Then it cuts to them sitting in the tree sharing a joint.
Totally. He's glad, like, I dipped my ink in you.
Yeah. I was going to say, I've got that whole interaction.
Yeah.
I got to say,
I've had like a lot of weed dealers in my day.
You're by far the coolest I've ever had, man. They were all dicks.
Really?
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
No problem.
I really appreciate it. That means a lot to me, you know? It's like you're the first guy that I ever sold to that I became friends with. They say, like, don't dip the pen in company ink. I'm totally glad I dipped in your ink, bro.
God, I love that. and then Seth is like, fuck. Like, so he tries to change the subject. And he's like,
yeah, so we should get out of town and, like, get a bus ticket. Yeah.
Did you hear what I told you, bro? Like,
yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm totally, yeah, you're glad you dipped your pen in my ink.
Yeah.
But we should get bus tickets and leave, right?
I only got $50.
I don't think that that'll even buy one ticket. And this is like, this is where you get the idea. They're going to sell the Pineapple Express they have in its bag
right.
to some high school kids.
Which they've been holding on to that bag. They've made sure that they've had that bag the entire time. It's priorities.
Yeah, but there's a hilarious dialogue. He's like, what about your sack? And he's like, oh man, it's fucking killing me. I feel like I popped one. No, that's unfortunate, but that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, sack. Like the sack of weed.
Yeah. Oh God. And then why would you sell it to kids? There, I guarantee you there are thousands of people, or I'm sorry, dozens of people in that area that'll probably be like, hey, you want some weed? They would buy that weed from them. Like, I guarantee
instead they sell to that mouthy preppy kid who's like, what the fuck do you want?
Yeah, yeah. He's like a total punk ass.
And then we meet Officer Barbara.
Oh God. Oh fuck.
What's I'm the name? Liaison officer for this school. And guess what? I just saw three students walking from back here with their eyes as red as the devil's dick. You're busted.
That shit was funny.
Dude, that is
the devil's dick.
Do you know who that is? Her name is Cleo King. She is amazing. Have you ever seen the movie The Bye Bye Man?
No.
No.
It is so bad it's a good movie, but she's the best part of it. And her death in that is probably one of the best deaths I've ever seen.
So after that line about eyes as red as the devil's dick, you're busted. And then the next thing I have, so there's a little bit of interaction between Officer Barbara and Dale, but
yeah, which I can sum up as basically he's telling the story about like, hey, this dirty cop and blah, blah, blah. And she's actually kind of believing it.
Yeah.
Like where she's like, you know what? I actually, that bitch is dirty, I think. So like, but it's being all witnessed from Saul across the parking lot. He's come back with Slurpees. He's like, oh fuck, I bet that's that dirty cop. I got to save him. But really like this, he doesn't know that this cop like
yeah.
put an end to all this and help.
Right.
But she runs his ID and.
Oh, big sexy
yeah.
with glasses.
Oh, big sexy with glasses.
She is awesome. She is amazing. She's in so many things. I love Cleo King. Like this is where I first noted that this is like one big improv. Like I put down here because it's just everybody's just one yes anding the whole fucking movie.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Every interaction is like that, which it did kind of get a little sloggy for me. I'm like, okay, yeah. Like there's like,
well, I found. There were a couple of scenes. There's actually three I can think of, which one was the, well, I'll get, you know, I won't describe the ones we haven't gotten to. One obviously was the fight scene at Red's.
Yeah.
It drug.
Yeah.
Even though there was a lot of funny dialogue and stuff, I was just like, dude, it felt like it was like 10 or 15 minutes.
Right.
It was insane. This chase scene right here that we're coming up on.
Very much so.
Is another moment. And then there's another moment in the last act.
Well, and then, but then like, it's just the yes anding on it does kind of get a little like that's what it's like there's little bits of every scene that you can just you could
I'm
have
sure
ended
with
here
all of it
and here
they wanted to include it all like when they're in editing like
yeah
that's good that's it's there's yeah. too many good parts so they just kept
yeah
you know these scenes kind of long
yeah so
because yeah when he comes when Saul comes up to help him and steals the police car from the or like jumps out in front and he hits her or she hits him causing her to get out
yeah
then he obviously runs around the side. Car is covered in slushy, but it goes in and steals it. When he's trying to back up, that's when the dirty cop, Rosie Perez,
yeah.
comes up. And now they're in a fucking police chase with the one who actually went, she's like firing gunshots at him and shit.
She shoots a dude in the arm.
Sorry.
And then just drives off.
Totally. This chase, though, you know, entertaining and all that, went on long.
Very much so.
Thoughts on the chase?
Yeah, it did go on pretty long, but there was the shot. When the camera was like looking from the outside at the cop car,
uh-huh.
and you could see Saul's foot and his leg like coming through the windshield.
Yeah, when he was trying to kick it out.
That was fucking hilarious. And then he goes, when he finally pulls his leg back out, he's like, hey, I can see through my leg hole.
Yeah. Real quick, Slug Bug Blue. Did you guys catch it?
No.
There's one in there. I win. I'm up one.
Okay.
You can't win a game that no one else is playing, bud.
I just won it. I just did.
Don't yell don't when it already happened.
No, don't.
But yeah, this is like this entire like this. This is another part where Dale is such an asshole to Saul the entire time. It, like he's just you fucking idiot, and like just yelling at him so much.
Yeah, especially like when they finally like lose her when she crashes her car and shit.
And she kills the rascal. Yeah.
They like it's still tense afterwards. Like they like argue and shit. Or the way he's just like, come on, what the fuck are you doing? Like yelling at him when he's trying to get out of the car. I like had remembered that being like, yo, Dale, you're like being like, Saul's been cool. Like,
he just saved
super
her.
Loyal.
He just, yeah. He just tried to save you. Like he just tried to. Yeah. So this is, he was being a total asshole to him. And that's when they go their separate ways. Right. They get into that argument.
Well, before that, Dale calls Angie.
Yeah, I have.
No. They separate, and then Dale calls Angie.
Well, yeah, it's where because when he gets out of the car, you know, it's like, wait, get the handcuff keys, you idiot! He's just like being rude to him as fuck. Then it cuts back to Ted's house, where Carol arrives and updates him and shit. And that's when he's like, don't worry, we'll kill these sacks of shit tonight.
Oh.
Or, you know, and then I'm moving on. He promises that, because she says, this is the last thing I'm doing. I'm done. And he's like, well, I'll take care of you. And then they start making out and shit. And that's when we find out, like, oh, okay, those two are together. And then it cuts to back to the guys that are at the payphones. And yes, Dale is calling.
Yeah. And so I've got some dialogue from that.
That's some fun shit. Go.
Angie says, Dale, you know what?
Drug dealers. Let me just tell you something. Drug dealers are trying to kill me and you and my family. I can't believe I'm in this situation right now because of you and your addiction to marijuana. I cannot believe I'm here.
Can't be addicted to marijuana. A, I use a bong. It filters out the addictive shit. Seriously. B, what the fuck does that have to do with anything? I witnessed a murder, Angie, and now I'm dealing with it. This that's happening between us, this is normal. This happens to every couple who's been dating for 3 months, and we just have to work through it.
No, it doesn't, Dale. This doesn't happen to anyone. I should not be in this situation, so fuck you.
You know what? It's over.
Good. Fine. Whatever. It's over. Congratulations. Had to happen sometime, right? Why not now?
What the fuck does that mean?
It means that you are going to go to college next year. You'll get into Godspeed, you Black Emperor, and the fucking Shins, and you'll blow a bunch of dudes, and you'll become a lesbian, and I'll be here in fucking Clark County doing shit all. You're going to dump me, so fuck it. Have a good time.
A lesbian?
Fuck you, Dale.
That's exactly what I have it stopping, too. I had all that same shit. That dialogue, Zesh right there, is so fucking
you'll get
funny.
Into Godspeed, you Black Emperor, and the fucking Shins.
The fucking Shins. And it's like, we all know exactly what he's saying. Like, yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah, a lesbian. But he says, I use a bong, right? We have not seen him smoke out of a bong yet.
No, he's all been joints. Like crazy.
Yeah, he's funny. Full of shit.
Yeah, he's just full of shit to his girl.
And then after that, I don't know if it's immediately, but then we have a Saul and Dale like arguing.
Okay. Yeah, because when he hangs up, it shows Saul, he's also on his own call with his bubby, and it's like super positive. He's like, oh, you rascal. Hey, don't gamble with that money. And he's like, he's totally being the stoner, like all positive vibes. And it's Dale that's being a dick.
But they start arguing, and it's like, I didn't even put much down because it's loaded with hilarious dialogue.
Yeah, I have most of it. I want to see if I like actually highlight it to like,
I've got a little bit. I've got the ending of it.
It's about how Saul is just like, well, wait, first things first, before he's like, you know, we have to go, like, you know, sorry, your girlfriend broke up with you. We need to like head out of here. And he's just like, first things first. And Saul's about to hit a bowl. And that's when he's all of a sudden like, why don't you not do that? Because everything that's happened to us, all, you know, the car chases, gunshots, all that, is because we were high.
Right.
Like we're not very productive when we're high and all that shit.
Yeah. Well, like when he goes, no, how about we don't do that? And he's like, oh, wait, like why? Like he thinks that it's because somebody's going to spot him or something like that. I love his reaction to that.
Yeah.
There's a part, I think it's like towards the end of the argument.
I wonder if it's the same one I have.
And he's like, only reason I started selling pot is
so I could put my bubby in a nice retirement home.
Oh, yeah, she must be proud of you for that.
She is really proud of me, and I'm going to become something, man. As soon as she dies, I'm going to become a civil engineer. I'm going to design septic tanks for playgrounds. Little kids can take shits. You idiot, what the hell do you
do? What the hell do you do?
Yeah. What am I going to do besides stay in my home for fear that you design some object I'm around? He goes, I'm going to be
on the radio talking about life.
Oh,
giving lessons about
life.
Put
me in my place. I'm going to be designing buildings, and what's he going to be doing? Boring people death on the radio.
You are an asshole. That's all you are. You're an asshole.
I'm not an asshole.
You are an asshole.
You know what? I feel pretty sure that I'm not an asshole. Yeah. I'm like a totally nice guy.
That sounded mean. Yeah, just man. Hearing it sounded mean. I didn't mean to say
it's
all
out,
that.
Bro. Monkey's out of the bottle, man.
What?
Yeah.
That's not even an expression.
Pandora doesn't go back in the box. He only comes out.
I'm sorry, man. Look, what are you doing?
Here, have a nice last meal.
Come on. Don't do that.
Why don't you supersize it, bitch?
I'm sorry, man.
And then there's a part not long after that, after their fight. Saul is like on a swing in a park and he's crying and eating fast food.
Yeah, he just had that big burger. Yeah,
it was so like a montage of them like being like, sad that their friendship is broken up.
Yeah.
They really have bonded.
Yeah.
But that's the way Dale deals with it by calling Angie back.
Again.
I'm sure you have that.
I don't have any dialogue, but he like begs her to take him back.
I do.
And then he changes his mind.
I do. Again. Well, it goes, hello, Dale? It is Dale. Angie, I'm calling.
Because I love you more than anything in the world. And I want to let you know I'll do anything to make it work. I'll do anything. I've had a near-death experience. And when that happens, you can prioritize your life and you are it, okay? So please just take me back, please. I love you.
I love you.
Yeah?
I just took the lose you, Dale. We were driving away from the house and I just kept thinking... I don't know. I want to marry you.
Oh, I made a mistake.
What do you mean?
I'm just processing that last bit. You want to? Oh, fuck.
What?
I don't know. I realize now that if you would take me back, then you are very naive and immature. You don't see what a fuck up I am. I'm in no shape to be dated by anyone.
You're the one that's immature.
No way. I'm not immature. You're immature. I mean, I am somewhat immature, but you're more immature. I'm older.
Just because you're older. You know what? I lost my virginity when I was 14 years old.
Really?
How many girls have you even slept with?
Like 2.5?
2.5? What is a half? Your hand? That
no,
doesn't
it was
count.
The dipper I dipped a ball in. I can't remember why. I just remember thinking this doesn't count as a full point. If I said 3, I'd feel like a liar. I don't know why. I was drunk.
Screw you. Just get me out of this motel room.
I will, and that's the last you'll ever hear from me, okay?
That shit was so funny. And when he hangs up, he's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Because he called convinced. And she's like, I want to marry you. He's like, oh, my God.
He's like, oh.
He immediately turned around. He's like, never mind. I don't want to be with you at all. You're disgusting that you would want to be with me. He was turned off by her because she wanted to be with him. And he's like, oh, I can't date someone that would want to be with me.
Yeah.
That's so great. Saul shows up at the retirement home.
Yeah.
And sees the goons there talking to his grandma.
Broflovsky and Matheson.
Budlovsky and Matheson. And they see him. They chase him. They get him. They kidnap him. And then fucking Dale shows up there hoping to find Saul because he wants to apologize to him. Finds out he's been gotten because the police are there. They find his bag with the weed in it. And that's when he heads over to Red's to try to recruit some help to go get him back.
But the best part of this fight is when he hits Craig Robinson in the face with a coffee hot coffee, and he has like the hamburger face.
Oh yeah,
I love it. Yeah, and so then he shows up at Ted's lair. Craig Robinson punches James Franco in the dick. I look like a Hamburglar and the Elephant Man.
Yeah, yeah, because that's what they're arguing about. This.
Yeah,
he's like, oh fuck, I did that to you.
What's down there? Oh, fuck. I love this. I'm not going down there. No. What's down there? The fucking Rancor?
Well, that because, well, yeah, when they do take him down there and he sees that big underground grow room, and he's just like, El Dorado.
It is in the legends.
The legends are true.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah.
Look at all this weed, man. What's that? Purple Granddaddy? Come on, Purple Ninja? OG Kush? OG Kush. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. What kind of irrigation?
Yeah.
Shut up. Can I touch it? Come here. That's where they throw him into that familiar room. Did you recognize that room?
Yeah, that's where Bill Hader was. Watch? Yeah. Yeah.
In the very beginning, item 9.
Item 9.
That's the same bunker that was supposed to be buried. It's now like owned by this Ted's. It's his growers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, then he shows up over at fucking Danny McBride's. Yeah,
he's got to recruit like his friend, and he's just sitting by the toilet with some Bone Thugs.
Yeah. That's right. Bone Thugs playing at Red's house, and there's like, he's like laying dying next to the toilet.
Totally.
And the conversation between Red and Dale. While Saul lays like, Saul and Dale, while Red lays dying next to the toilet. Yeah, I'm at peace with the fact that Mia's
this person probably going to not be around. Think about a hermit crab, okay? And it's a shell, and it's like they go from one shell to the next. And that's what I am. It's like I'm just a hermit crab changing shells.
Except if you're a dick your whole life, your next shell will be made of shit, okay? If you're an asshole, you're going to come back as a cockroach. Or a worm, or a fucking anal bead, okay? If you're a man and you act heroic, you'll come back as an eagle. You'll come back as a dragon. You'll come back as Jude Law, okay? Which would you rather be?
Maybe the anal bead, depending on who it belongs to. It
belongs to me.
Then the dragon.
Exactly. I just like that where Dale's like, it belongs to me. Like, it would be my anal bead. Okay, then I would be a dragon. That shit is so funny.
And then the guns in the wall. Like,
oh, yes.
Red's got guns hidden in his wall. And Red riding shotgun in the car and shit.
Yeah, because this montage goes back and forth from them arming up and riding to the compound and arming up and kind of going back and forth, which is a weird choice, but it's still all fun.
Yeah.
And like some of the little dialogue.
Any of the scenes with Danny McBride are like pretty fucking funny.
They're all good.
And then he just fucking bails on Dale outside of the lair when they get there.
Oh, I know. And it reminds you of like when he stabbed him in the back when the goons got there earlier.
Yeah.
He has zero spine.
I was so bummed. I was like, oh, he's turned a corner, but not yet.
He has zero spine. He comes storming into the thing and he's just like caught immediately. Just immediately.
Yeah. When he bursts in, he puts a gun to their head. Everybody frees. And then one of them just shoots the guy he has held hostage.
Yeah, that's Rob Foskey.
Because he wants to go home and have dinner with his wife, so he doesn't want to deal with this shit. And he's like, if anybody asks, just say Dale did it.
Yeah.
The hostage thing doesn't work out. When he gives himself up, he's like, oh, and I have another gun here on this bed.
You're just take it. You'll find it.
You're going to find it anyway. Just take it. I'm sorry. I'm just so sorry. I thought that shit was so funny, and obviously that caused them to take him prisoner and put him in the same room with Saul.
Right.
And that shit gets funny again for a minute.
Saul's like bummed at first because he's like, oh no, this guy's not even my friend.
Yeah.
Scene for?
I think I do too.
And that's
I think you do too.
This is the last scene.
Fourth and final. As Dale and Saul manage to free their hands in their cell, Ted and Carol arrive at the lair. But they aren't the only ones. Ted's rivals, an Asian drug gang, are also outside watching the compound and preparing to attack. Dale and Saul are then caught by Matheson while trying to escape. A brawl and shootout ensues. The Asians also attack the compound at the same time. A chaotic, confusing mess of who's on first style fighting and killing is happening in every area of the compound. Dale is shot in the ear and Matheson is wounded in the shoulder. Another large shootout happens in the grow room of the compound, but Dale and Saul manage to survive. As they try to get out through a vent, Dale is confronted by gunfire from Ted, causing Saul to get out alone. Back in the compound, Carol is fighting off Asians in the barn while Ted and Dale are fighting it out in the bunker. Saul charges back in and is now fighting with Carol. Then Budlovsky comes in, but refuses to kill Saul. He decides he is going home instead. Matheson bursts out of the hatch and kills Budlovsky for refusing to kill Saul. Then Red reappears and drives his car through the barn into Matheson, killing him and saving Saul in the process. But he is immediately shot by Carol. Meanwhile, back down in the bumper, a member of the Asian gang sets off a bomb, killing Ted and setting fire to the barn. Red's car explodes and lands on Brazier, killing her. Dale makes his way through the fire to Ted's body and finally serves Ted the subpoena. He then discovers Saul knocked out upstairs. Dale carries Saul from the burning lair just before it fully explodes. Then Red, severely wounded and apparently unable to die, also escapes the flames and reconciles with Dale and Saul. They talk about their adventure over breakfast at a diner before Saul's grandmother picks him up to take him to the hospital.
Credits roll!
Okay, so Dale and Saul using the belt buckle to like free their hands and dry humping and like talking dirty.
Yes.
Great. It was great.
This is, yes, I have the dialogue for that right at the beginning of the scene. I thought it was so funny. When he's like, yes, okay, I got an idea. I got an idea. My belt buckle,
Right here, okay? Rub your wrist against my belt buckle. That'll do it. Yeah. Oh, is it working?
I can't feel it.
Yeah, I can't feel you.
Oh, wait, I feel it.
I feel it a bit. Yes, okay. Okay. I'm gonna save you, man.
Yeah.
Let me save you.
Save me, dude.
It's not working. Okay, wait, we gotta change angles. Okay. We gotta get more leverage-y. Okay, wait. Here, that's good. Get your hands up on it. There we go. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm gonna save you, man.
Yeah.
I'm gonna save you.
Yeah.
You're my best friend, man.
Yeah. See. Oh,
okay.
It's not working. It's not.
Here, let me use my. I'll use my mouth. That'll do it.
Okay.
Finish it off with my mouth, pal. Okay. Let's go. Come on. Let's go.
That shit was so like, I'm gonna save you, man.
Finish it off with your mouth was just, fucking. Or yes. Finish it off with my mouth, pal.
Just trying to untie the ropes. But what a creative way to make it look like they're trying to untie each other. It was. That shit was so fucking funny, especially the first time I saw that.
I thought it was, I don't know. I thought it was just a little like low hanging fruit.
No.
Was, like the only thing, like I was, the
no
only
one's
thing,
ever done an untie me, bro, that way. It's just, they did
the
it.
The visual, though, yes. Then like humping and shit
I
was
know.
Fucking funny.
But see, like,
so
I thought it,
the best way.
I thought it'd be coming in with like one of those like 80s movies type of thing, like where somebody, the guy like was walking across the window and sees, he's like, whoa.
But
like,
they didn't go that way. They
I know.
Did the.
But.
That's what it's like. I'm going to save you, man.
Like,
it's so stupid.
Like, that's, I thought it was just one, like maybe one ladder rung removed from the, from
no,
that.
No, you're
level.
Way out of line.
Yeah, I'm not, I wasn't a fan of that scene. And that, talk about scenes that go on for too long.
No, that wasn't
that one.
Of
that
them.
One went way for
but
too long.
But then back upstairs, Ted and Carol now have arrived and they want to know where these guys are.
Yeah.
Like, where are they? You know, like,
Paul was the CIA.
He's ready to fucking kill all
yeah.
of them. Because, yeah, he's, like, frustrated with this whole thing. When it cuts outside to the Asians outside with night vision goggles getting ready to strike.
Yeah. Like you said, who's on first type of shit like that? It's just back and forth. Like,
well, when we see them kind of storm the barn, it does cut back in that room. And finally, I think they've gotten their hands free.
Yeah.
And then they're like, yes, wait, somebody's coming. Okay. If I cough once, I'll take the lead. If I cough twice, you go, okay? Well, I cough sometimes for real. Just don't. And then Matheson comes into the room annoyed again.
Yeah.
This is like the second time. And he goes, yo, look, I'm not going to say this one. I'm going to say this one time. Whatever you're doing, I get it, okay? Stop. He goes, I don't think you understood me. And then Saul coughs because they have their hands tied behind their back.
Yeah.
He literally coughs and brings out one hand and covers his mouth.
And Matheson doesn't even notice it.
Yeah, he doesn't even say anything and puts it back. And I was fucking totally laughing. And
he goes, that one.
He's like, I can hear everything you're saying. One cough mean you go, two cough mean you take the lead. The belt buckle, best friends forever. Y'all fuck on your own time, man. He's like, sorry, man. It was a stupid plan. What the fuck is that? And then he points. And then that's when they like try to rush him.
Yeah. And he shoots off his ear.
Oh, yeah. That's fucking disgusting. Holyfield's ear with a
fucking. Yeah.
But they knock him out, right? I think they knock out. Like
no,
they get Matheson.
No, they shoot. That's when Matheson and
they shoot him in the shoulder.
Yeah, they're wrestling or whatever, and then he shoots Matheson in the shoulder, and then that's when we see Dale's ear.
Yep.
Yeah, that was fucking
and then
gross.
Upstairs. Meanwhile, the Asians burst in, and it's official.
Yeah, it's a
this whole, is my last too long scene. This fight scene of everyone fighting in all the different sections. Too much.
It was.
Don't
it
care.
Was too much. Yeah.
Bobby Lee gets got.
We get a funny from Ken. Uh-huh. War is upon you. Prepare to suck the cock of karma.
Yes, I see that on there. Which I do love, Dr. Ken. I do love Bobby Lee. Got a big soft spot for both of them. But just yeah, this scene is long. Even with like Ted down in the grow room. With Dale and all of that shit. There are some fun twists and turns in the big fight scene.
Well, I mean, like, they're when, what's his name? Seth Rogen comes flying down to get Ted.
That was pretty
funny. That was a cool shot. That was, like, the best shot in the whole movie. It was just that
action shot.
Yeah.
When they're trying to put Dale's chunk of his ear back on, that's pretty funny.
But,
yeah, it's disgusting. I feel like I can smell it.
when Carol shoots Ken, and he like goes down the ladder chute, and he's like, "Fuck you." Also, Andy, were the ladder rungs properly distanced apart or no?
That was inside a code. Okay, cool. Ladder. Cool. So we were good on that. Yes, I did measure them. Brodsky gets fucking shot by Craig Robinson. Like, that's so, he just wanted to go have dinner with his wife. Just, he's shot up already. You didn't have to kill him. Just let him go. I felt so bad for him. Like, that's the only dude I feel bad for this entire movie is Broflosky. So,
isn't that a South Park character?
Whatever. You guys know who I'm talking
before
about.
Before he, like, the when he comes in to get the upper hand, that's where Saul and Carol are fighting.
Yeah.
And at one point, I have that he kicks her in the vag.
Oh, yeah.
Causes her to bend over. And then he, like, Scorpion from Mortal Kombat, yeah, like, uppercut punches her.
Yeah.
And so he has the upper hand. And then I think that's, yeah, that's when Budlovsky comes in.
Yeah.
And they're like, shoot him. And he won't shoot him.
Yeah, he's like, fuck this.
No, I'm going home. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
And that's when Matheson bursts out of the hatch, who's had enough of his shit. Because remember, he used to be hard.
He got soft.
And then he shoots him and kills him. Yeah, that fucking dinner's going to be cold tonight, asshole.
So, and that was what he chose to go with. That was so bad. Yeah, and then, like, the whole thing catches on fire.
Well, yeah, because he's
that's not how fire works.
Well, he's turned the gun to them.
Yeah,
Matheson, and he's like halfway out of that hatch, and he's gonna. But the twisty turn, who comes and saves the day?
Fucking
Red and his day woo.
In the dude, Matheson's death is kind of brutal.
Yes, totally. It's like he gets like sliced in that hatch because he's like halfway out of the hatch or something. Doesn't he like?
He slams into him between the fucking car and that machinery or whatever.
Yeah.
He's fucking.
You see it, and then fucking, what's his name? Danny McBride shoots off his foot, and you get to see him like all smashed in there.
Yeah. I forgot he shoots his foot off.
Thug life. And the speech he yells when he comes back for them, like, you came back, man. He's just talking about that. Yeah. I remember, you know.
Oh, and then, but yeah, so when the whole thing blows up, that's not how fire works. Like,
well, it finally got to some pressure vessels downstairs that were storing some chemicals.
Yeah. And so the whole thing catches on fire. And would they get high from that stuff burning, all that smoke? Do you think?
That's what I was thinking when they were walking through, like,
the answer is yes.
Yeah. Cause I was like,
if that pot is burning and you, inhale enough of it easily, yes.
Yeah.
It's actually happened. To cops, you can find a video, and I suggest you would. Cop gets high from burning the marijuana. It might be a fake one, but there's an old YouTube video of the cops who have to, they're doing it for the news, so it's showing them like a big bust and they're burning all of the contraband, and he gets too much of the smoke, and I think he's like, so we like in the interview in the news is fucking funny.
That's awesome.
So after, I may be going back a little bit, but after Red comes back and smashes Matheson with the car.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And he's like, hey, Saul, I came back for you, bro. Yeah, I remembered, man. Bros before hoes. You lied to me. I did. I lied big time to you. Dale said that you didn't even have herpes, and I said that you did. Honestly, like, from now on, from everything that we've gone through, and like from seeing this asshole's nuts smashed with my Daewoo, I want to be a better friend to you. Like, I really am. I fucking love you, dog. Fucking love you. I want to be inside you, Holmes.
Dude, that's Danny McBride.
But that's when fucking Carol, who was down but not out, starts crawling towards a gun on the ground. And while they're hugging and shit, she shoots Red.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So he cuts back downstairs. Fucking Ted and Dale are still fighting downstairs, and that is too long. They're going just back and forth, and it's like not the most memorable shit. There's a couple of little moments here or there, but yeah, I found like I was ready for this fight to be over. And at some point, I think is it Dr. Ken who comes in, you killed my brother.
Yeah.
Caucasian cocksucker. And that's when he like is gonna set off the ball. Suck my balls two times.
He sets off the briefcase
bomb.
Yep. And then as Seth climbs up the ladder. Dale, yeah, sorry.
Dale gets out of the blast by jumping in that box.
Yeah, well, that's not how fire works. Is that real? No, that's not how fire works.
I don't know. Maybe. I feel like if that box was strong enough, it might.
No.
Did you notice when he was climbing out of the box, the fucking somebody's leg and foot next to him?
No.
Yeah.
Like there was pieces of a body in there or something?
Yeah.
That's funny.
But then, so he climbs up the ladder. He comes out of the hole and his pants are on fire. And he takes it off. The hero of this entire movie are his pair of socks. Those things stayed up the entire time.
Okay.
Like, did you guys know?
There's the ladder rungs there.
He
pulled his socks up when he was in that box.
No. Yeah,
that was a blast-proof box. It sheltered the shockwave, and he pulled his socks up real quick.
All right. But, yeah, those are the...
deleted scene.
Hero of the movie, his socks. Dale's socks.
After that blast, when he gets out of the box, he fucking goes over to Ted's like pretty mangled ass body.
Yeah.
And throws the Supreme Cuban served. Oh, that I thought that was like kind of stupid.
It was kind of stupid, but it like at that it point, does tie that
forgot.
Bow.
It's like, yeah, I totally forgot. And you're like, oh, that does kind of tie that up.
Yeah, it ties that bow. So he did his job. He gets paid for that.
But that also shows that he was there. Like now he's like when the police come and case the scene, they're going to like, who served a dead man? Like,
yeah.
I have a lot of questions for this process server, Dale Denton.
Well, it probably burned up before the police got there.
True.
So
this is the principle of it.
Yeah. Deleted scene. It burned up.
Yep.
And then Dale, Saul, and Red they're saved. They're good.
Yeah. Dale actually saves Saul and carries him out like fucking bodyguard style. Or
yeah. And then Red comes fucking crawling out of there.
Yeah. Cause he just won't die. Red's been like shot those two times and then was just left there to die. But then end up just driving him, dropping him off and leaving again. And just all these times, he's been shot too many times. But yet, and now through an explosion, and then, he's still alive.
Yeah, and that like that's the, I think that's what I love about his character. He just didn't die. I love
it. He was great. And then these three assholes go to breakfast.
Yeah.
Holy shit, that scene was so good at the fucking diner.
Oh, and it's like disgusting and
that's,
funny.
That's the only scene of the film that in my research, I read that it was actually that entire thing was improv on the spot by the actors.
It felt like it.
It wasn't even part of the scene.
Yeah.
Well, because even like their three-way necklace where like I'll have the broken parts in the middle. Like that just obviously. Just,
and then when Red, he like dozes off. He's like, I'm like the nerd at the sleepover who fell asleep at night. And Dale goes, that's okay. We won't put our dicks in your mouth.
But yeah, like all... I thought he for a second. I didn't think he fell asleep. I thought
he was dying. Yeah,
I thought he died. I was like, oh, dude.
Yeah. Like, he is like losing consciousness because he's dying. And it's like
so
joke.
Luckily, they do kind of mention like they're going to get him to the hospital. Yeah, and, like, maybe make sure he's okay.
Yeah, he got my ear. They're talking about his ear and her Bubby gets him.
Did you guys pick up on Bubby's line when they got in the car?
You guys smell like shit.
You guys smell like shit. You are in serious danger.
God.
She gets the last line.
Yeah, that is the last line.
Credits roll.
Credits fucking roll.
And I thought I was like, I swear to God, there has to be a deleted scene. Nope. All right, in credits. So
you guys want to rate this thing?
Yeah. Rate it.
Yeah, let's go to fucking rating. So
I can get mine out of the way.
All right.
I'll just say that our units of measurement here are gonna be cross joints in honor of this movie. And
of course, the only way.
I had a lot of laughs. I really enjoyed the characters. You know, only complaint would be those three parts that felt like they drug a little bit for me.
Right.
Overall, the watchability and rewatchability, I'm going to give this a 7 out of 10 cross joints.
Okay. What?
Pretty good, but not.
Are you
the best ever.
Watch it? Buy it.
It's this one's a watch.
Okay.
It's a watch.
All right. And then, so I guess it's me then. You know, I love Judd Apatow. I love these guys. This one is not one of my favorites. It's not one of the ones. Oh, if you love him, like you have to see this one. This one's kind of like bottom low. I said 5 out of 10 cross joints and just watch it.
Damn, five.
Five.
Okay. Are you sure this is Judd Apatow?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like it could be. I just make a lot of references. I'm like, why don't I remember? But I think it is.
It was written by Judd Apatow.
Oh, right there. He is one of the writers.
Did you not listen to my intro?
I just wasn't sure that you were telling the truth. I don't know.
Yeah, I lied.
Okay.
Okay. So me being the guy that hadn't seen it before, I did rate this as a 7 out of 10 cross joints.
Okay.
Oh, I'm loving it on the poll.
My notes are that this movie is fucking hilarious. There's quite a bit that you... There's probably some stuff in there that I didn't even catch on one watch. Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's more that I'll find as I watch it, as I would watch it again. So the rewatchability is pretty high here. And so I did put watch it. I didn't go buy it just because it didn't make me be like, oh, I got to go out and buy it. But as someone thought I was watching something that I wasn't before we went into it, like I really enjoyed this movie. That's really good to hear. It was funny. It was stacked as far as the casting. A lot of improv, a lot of hilarious dialogue. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. All right.
But so now it's time for our the Movie Roulette podcast bi-weekly fuckface challenge. And the challenge we have this week is that we you got to come up with your own strain of weed, give it a name and talk about what it does.
Yeah, its effects.
All right.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
So two out of three of us are dads, and you know you have those days where
I'm a dad, just not to a human.
Yeah,
okay. I'm a dad to a baby gold dog.
But there are those days you gotta get through the honey-do list. You gotta take care of shit like that.
Sure.
So, my weed strain is Dad's Day In, not Dad's Day Out.
Like the sound of it.
So it's a sativa, obviously, to keep you up. That helps you feel energetic, creative, while also helping reduce fatigue. It's like the Maui Wowie. I don't know if you've ever heard that strain.
Of course, I've had Maui.
So, yeah. So but I
isn't
think,
that a ride at Worlds of Fun, Oceans of Fun?
Not maybe, but not that I remember. Yeah.
But so it's one of those like keep you up, just have a good day, get through your chores, get ready for dinner.
Mm, okay. Well, I a long time ago on one of the a trip on the West Coast, I had a friend that worked at a dispensary back before it was like legal here and all that. This particular time that really stuck out is I got an eighth of cheese and an eighth of Snoop's Master Kush. Snoop's Master Kush was the heavy indica. This thing, like, fucking have a hard time keeping your eyelids up. Like, when you were like, ooh. It might have been the one where I, like, had blackout experiences where I, like, don't remember most of the night.
Oh, shit.
I was blasted. I mean, this shit was powerful. So I want to take the cheese, and then this cheese was, like, best mood, upper, best sativa. I was like, oh man, floating on sunshine on this. It was some of my favorite shit I ever had. So that spirit in mind, also mixed with something my daughter said recently, which I'll get into. I would take the cheese and I'd crossbreed about maybe 5 or 10% of the Snoop's Master Kush, you know, just to take the edge off the evening after you've been productive. And it's only going to be on the finishing side of it, of course, because, you know, my chemist can do that. And it's going to be called JD's Evening Cheese.
That's perfect. That's fucking awesome. Shroud.
Okay, so I'm not a
smoker.
I'm not going to get into the biology of how I created it, but my strain name is called Highborg the Cyborg. So okay. Highborg the Cyborg, but it's spelled THA instead of THE.
I like
it because it's gangster. It is an incredibly potent strain of weed that gives a human being the power to identify cyborgs and robots that walk among us.
I like that.
This effect is especially attainable when consumed in food form like brownies, etc.
Okay.
While high on this strain, you can see rapid eye movements in other people in extremely slowed down, almost frame by frame speed. This is where you find out who is human and who is cyborg.
They live.
That's what I was going to...
Modern day Roddy Piper class. Yeah.
So like, you know, if you're sitting next to me
fight scenes ever.
And you're high on this stuff and you see me like go to just turn and look at you, you see it all like... And if you see that, then you know I'm a cyborg and I'm not a human.
That's dope. I would try that shit.
I'd do
that. Immediately.
This is all experience from the first time I ever did edibles.
I love it.
This is exactly how shit went.
Sounds like one of your friends is just fucking with you and went,
two of my friends were cyborgs. Shout out to Jamie and Shannon.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's fun.
Shout out to Jamie and Shannon, indeed.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So, all right. So are we ready to fucking
put this one to bed?
Yeah. Put this one to bed and roll something new?
It's been talked about. Let's roll the next one.
All right. We are needs to be a
good
one.
Come on, 1010.
Yeah.
We're due for something good. Please, guys. No bullshit. No bullshit.
Oh, yeah! We said we needed a banger, and we got one.
Oh man, we're gonna watch Rockstar starring Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg starring Jennifer Aniston.
So we got another Mark
Stephen
Wahlberg.
Stephen Perkins from Third Eye Blind.
Yeah, Stephen Jenkins.
Stephen Perkins is Stephen Perkins is the drummer of Jane's Addiction. I apologize. Yeah,
there we go.
This is a great one. This is one of my favorite movies.
Way better Mark Wahlberg movie than Fear.
Fear.
This is going to be much better. I do have fun memories of this. It is a little cartoonish on like what exactly it's like to be.
But it's also the mid 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't know what it's like to tour in a hair band in the mid 80s.
Yeah, I do. I have memories of this, of really enjoying this as more of a fun, a fun movie.
There are fun parts.
I have not seen all of these movies on these wheels. I've not watched them in probably 20 years.
This is straight up one of my favorite movies. Like, I'm stoked for this one.
Okay.
This will be a good episode.
About that.
Stand up and shout.
Okay. So join us next time for Rockstar.
Yeah.
And visit all of our socials, Stroud.
Yeah. We are themovieroulettepodcast.com. We are at the Movie Roulette Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. Give us a follow. Give us a like. Give us a fucking download. Send us comments. Review us. We've had some interactions on the socials that we enjoy, so keep doing that. We have had some more suggestions from people.
Good.
As far as movies to add. So we did that, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Send us your weed strain.
Send us your weed strain. What is it called and what does it do?
Yeah. Let's get some interactions.
Because if you see the in people's eyes, then you know something is up.
You know?
Shit's going
down. That's when you know it's going down.
Yeah. So, all right. So we will talk to you guys next time.
Be excellent to each other. Bye.
Peace.
Bye. If I were you, I'd take a caution before I step to meet my girl, you know, cause in some caution, your bitch is the best thing in the world, she's so fellow like the vote getting paid late, so better lay low. Scheming on hot money and the whole shit. The low pro ho should be cut like an afro. So what you saying, huh? She's a winner to you, but I know she's a loser. How did you know? Me and a crew used to do her.
Gigi.